Well, welcome to High School Football on MSONewsSports.com. I'm Rick Moore, along with Paul Ingram and our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, on this beautiful fall evening. Yeah, hello. Nor'easter over here in Gloucester at Newell Stadium, and it's Melrose, 5-2, coming in to play the Fishermen of Gloucester. They are at 6-1. Melrose tied for first in the Middlesex League with Wakefield. And again, Wakefield playing over at Danvers tonight. You heard that on Bill Newell's superb weekend football preview show, along with John Squires and a cast of thousands. So tonight it is Melrose coming in here to play the Gloucester Fishermen. Melrose, under the direction of Coach Tim Morris, in its 23rd year. Coach Morris has 139 wins, 90 losses, 4 ties. And the Red Raiders come in having scored 163 points for, 94 points against. We're going to get to all of this. We don't have both coaches tonight. Couldn't get a hold of Coach Morris. Gave it my best shot. But we do have Steve Cummings, the Wakefield coach, talking a little bit about what he knows about Melrose. So we'll go to that in just a tad. Coach, crazy weather conditions tonight, but at least the rain has let up.
Well, it's, a couple of hours ago, boy, it was really raining and the wind was howling, but it doesn't. I'm watching the kids warm up, and you know Melrose throws the ball a lot, and they seem to be able to throw it well into the wind. The wind is across the field; it isn't down the field. So, and they seem to be catching it. Of course, you have the synthetic turf, so it's a little bit different than back in the old days when you had to deal with the mud. And as long as you keep the balls dry, they should be okay.
Yeah, and again, the rain has really let up, so now it's just a matter of when. It's a little cool, so I expect the proverbial late-arriving crowd tonight.
Well, yeah, I think people were questioning whether they were even going to play tonight.
Right.
The way the weather was. But generally, I know during the regular season, it's the home team that calls whether the game is going to be played or not. Of course, they talk to the athletic directors and decide when they're going to make it up. If there's a date, they can. But they decide to play, and I guess most of the teams are playing tonight. We haven't heard of anybody.
No. Everybody's on, and there's nobody here at the moment. But some boat was that the that looked like the see that boat going across there? There's a boat out there in the water. It looks like
that
the
can't be a boat. Really.
Well, it looks like the
I know,
the
but
dinner
it's
boat
going about.
I know it's going so fast. It's crazy. Look at it. See?
No, you know what it is. It's a
the heck
limousine.
Is that? I don't know. Maybe it's Coast Guard. I don't know. It's weird with a string of lights along there. I've never seen that before. Anyway, we'll get to Coach Cummings in a second. We will talk to Gloucester football coach Tony Zerilli, and all that coming up in kickoff is about 20-odd minutes away. So take our first break of the night. We'll come back and talk some more about this. Both teams warming up, by the way. Mark Melrose warming up down to our left. They've got all white uniforms, and I don't know what color the numerals are, but we can see them. And to the right, Gloucester's in there, red and white, with the red jerseys, white pants tonight. Not the, what do they call that, color rush, color splash when it's all one color? I don't know. What happened
very
to the gold
different.
Pants?
Rick, I'm out of the picture now, so I really don't, know how they come up with colors like this.
Yeah.
We kind of like the gold, and actually, when we were in the Super Bowl, we wanted white. We wanted the away uniform because the kids felt they looked bigger and tougher.
Okay. All right, that's Coach Ingram. Four consecutive Super Bowls when he, at the end of his career, and winning three of them and at Gloucester High School. So we'll take a break and we'll come back and we'll check in with Wakefield football coach Steve Cummings about the Melrose team.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright double hung insert window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Looking for a reliable place to produce your team's uniforms or your business's corporate apparel? Then Sockies and Sportswear is the place for you. Conveniently located on Route 1 South in Peabody, Mass., Sarkisian Sportswear handles all aspects of your needs, from price quoting to providing visual proofs to production completion. Visit our website, SarkisianSports.com, to view our monthly specials, vendor catalogs, and to request a quote. Remember, Sarkisian Sportswear is the place to go.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan, plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
This game is brought to you by the Institution for Savings, your local community bank since 1821, with great rates, great service, and great people. Harrington Trophy, rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years with quality products and service, located in Lynn and at harringtontrophy.com. Moynihan Lumber, of Beverly, North Reading, and Plastow, New Hampshire. The Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill. The Daily Item of Lynn and itemlive.com. Click on their banner on our website to access their respective news and sports coverage.
Well, we've been following Wakefield quite a bit this season in the Middlesex League, and I got to talk to Wakefield football coach Steve Cummings the other night. And for those of you who are watching our live streaming video tonight, he's going to tell you all about one number you should keep your eye out for, Coach Steve Cummings of Wakefield.
Keep an eye on number five.
Okay.
Mike Pedrini is, and I've talked with my coaching staff about it, Mike Pedrini is probably the best player to come out of the Middlesex League in the past decade. We've had some really good football players around here, but you want to talk about just overall, the kid does everything, and he's probably 5'9". He's got the best balance of any football player I've ever seen. He doesn't take big hits. He just finds a way to keep his legs working, and he runs bigger than he is. If he needs a yard, he's getting a yard. I mean, he finds a way to make plays every single game. And I think we've played against him 7 times, and there's at least 3 times in every game where you look back and go, we had that covered, and we knew that was coming, and he's just got another gear. He's got something about him. I have never seen a kid at this level make the kind of plays that he makes, and he makes it look routine to the point where you're just expecting it week to week. It's one of those things where you can know it's coming. Most people do. I mean, Melrose, as far as what their offensive scheme is, they don't run a whole lot. They just run it really, really well. And if one guy is a split second late or a little bit out of position, Pedrini's going to take advantage of it. And, he's a kid who can win a football game all by himself. Mm-hmm. And if Gloucester's not prepared for him to get the ball and what they see in the kicking game or whatever, he's a kid who can single-handedly take a team in a really deep run in the playoffs.
Well, that's the name we'll be looking for tonight is Mike Pedrini of Melrose.
I've seen film on him, Rick. I actually have I get Huddle, which Coach Cirilli lets me have, and so I get to see all the games that they're playing, and he is a very good ball player. Mm-hmm. He dominates, but I'd have to say that I know when we were there, or I was there, and Tony probably has the same philosophy as take away their best player and then let somebody else beat you, so... we'll see if they can do that. I was just, his comments were that even when he was going to carry the ball, he's still tough to stop. So,
well, I remember back quite a few years ago, there was a Beverly runner.
Pierce?
One of the Pierces, yeah. And the only way to stop him was to get him before he got to the line of scrimmage. Otherwise, you couldn't stop him.
Yeah. They had a couple of backs a few years in a row there that... it was another level of speed.
Yeah.
In fact, Pierce is down at Mass Maritime playing. I met his father the other day and
cool.
Having a good year. And I guess he was banged up last week, but he's a good player. And certainly he plays at a different level. When in high school, he was quick.
Well, the wind is blowing. The color guard's out there already. I wonder why they're so early. We're going to start the game early? I hope not, because we've got more to go here. They're out there. The wind is blowing at their back. So it's not a northeast wind. It's a northwest wind. It's north-northwest. And we got about a 20-mile-an-hour wind steady here with some wind gusts, of course. Temperature at 44. Marty just checked in from Marblehead, said the temperature's over there is 39. Probably as similar in Danvers. On the waterfront here, it is 44, a little bit milder. Now, Melrose gets here. Take a look at their record. They lost the first game. Check it. They won the first game over Masco, 26-13. And then they lost by 1 point to Waltham. They beat Burlington 30-18 before coming back losing to Watertown by 2 points. So two losses, 3 points. Then they beat Wilmington 33-7. They squeezed by Stoneham 15-14. And then a big win, 33-13, in their last home game against Woburn. And as I said, they have scored 163 points and given up 94 points.
One of the things at Gloucester, when they get the films, they want a film of how Melrose would defense a wing T team. Obviously, Gloucester runs the wing T, and a lot of teams run spread. So I was looking at the films, and Masco has gone to the wing T. Coach Pugh is no longer there. I'm not sure the name of the new head coach, but they're running the wing T. So
Gavin Monagle, Coach Monagle.
Monagle?
Gavin
okay.
Monagle, yep.
So they're running the wing T, and so Gloucester had that film, so they can see, you know, how Melrose has a tendency to line up against them, because that's always the thing. You know, you're during the weeks, a lot of times you're guessing how the defense will line up against you. You're really not sure if you... You know, if they haven't played a wing T team and you're looking at spread formations, you know how the defense is spread, but you have no idea what they're going to do against you.
Now, Gloucester really has been tested only twice. They beat Lynn Classical by 2 points in the opener. And Beverly came back and hung up 28 points on them in the first half before winning 28-12. Other than that, Gloucester has continued to increase their margin of victory. 32 points against Swampscott on a win, 34 against Revere, 48 against Winthrop, and then 48 against Salem before scoring 49 last week. So they haven't really been tested in their division.
No, they haven't. I mean, their only loss is Beverly, which is all the rest of the teams they've beaten have a losing record.
Yep.
And, you know, you don't know. I mean, you certainly want to play some competitive games, but the only competitive game, well, Classical was, but that's your first game. You never know what's going to happen then. But so we'll see. I mean, certainly the kids have confidence in themselves that they can move the ball and that they're, you know, can certainly compete against the Melrose team. So we'll see tonight.
We're going to see very shortly. And again, the rain looks like it's almost, well, it's still misting out, but it's not nearly as bad as it was before, and I don't think that'll be a factor. The field is slippery. The wind definitely could be a factor with kicking and passing. It doesn't affect short passes so much, does it?
No, it doesn't, but you know, the protocol usually is, we used to have this thing called dry ball that you put in a plastic bag, and you put the balls in and you shake it a couple times. Next thing you know, the ball comes out like it's, you know, it's brand new. But the,
wait a minute now, is this legal? Is this a delayed thing?
No, it wasn't legal
now.
That, what happened was they... if the other team didn't have the same equipment, you couldn't use it. So I don't know what happened to that, but usually you rotate three footballs and you have somebody, you know, drying them. And my concern always was the quarterback-center exchange.
Yep.
Making sure the center can snap the ball.
I think we're going to start a little bit early, Coach, so we better get right to Coach Zerilli. The color guard is out. The officials look like they want to get this game started. So next up will be Gloucester football coach Tony Zerilli. You're listening to MSO News Sports. And we do have high school football coming up for you. Time now for Fisher and Forecast with Gloucester football coach Tony Zerilli, brought to you by the Gloucester House Restaurant.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit the Gloucester House.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
Coach, two milestones hit this week. Number one, you won the NEC South.
Yeah, it was good. That was one of our first goals of the year, was to win our conference again, repeat as the South champs, and kids pulled it off. They did a good job.
Coach, I don't know how many objectives you set or how many goals you set during a season. I know some coaches will tell you, some coaches won't. Do you have a list of objectives that you set preseason, or do you sort of change them as you go along?
We really have one primary goal, and that's to get better every week. And that's what we tell these kids. As long as you're getting better every week, things will take care of themselves. So we start the season, you know, relatively slow on what we put in, how we install things, and then, you know, we build off it every week. And we tell these kids, you know, the championship teams get better every week. They never plateau. They never get worse. Every week you improve, you improve, you improve. And as long as you're doing that, the championships, the South Crowns, the wins, all that stuff will take care of itself as long as you continue to get better.
And you guys feel like you've done that?
I feel like we have. I feel like, you know, our offensive line's a lot better than it was in the beginning of the year. I think we're running the ball better. I think defensively we understand the concepts better. I think we're progressing. You know, every week is a little bit better than the week before, and, you know, that hopefully carries into this week.
Excellent. Well, second milestone, Christian Sanfilippo, the school's all-time leading rusher. That's kind of hard to fathom, really.
Yeah, we kind of don't talk about it too much here, to be honest with you. You know, it is. It's a great honor for him, and he's a great running back. He's a great player. But football's a team sport, right? And everybody's got to do their job. And so we keep the focus on the team mentality here. You got to do your job. You complete a pass. You know, it's not only the quarterback and the receiver. It's also the other guys running their routes to separate themselves from the defense. It's the line blocking. So I think more than any other sport, football is a team sport. Yeah, it's a great accomplishment for Christian. You know, he's a great football player. He works his tail off, and he you know, it shows. It shows in the record books. It shows in the way he runs the ball. And I'm thankful he's on this team. But as much as that, it's also a team sport, and we kind of try to keep the focus there.
All right, a little bite in the air here, and I guess that means it's time for the playoffs. And Melrose, I talked to Wakefield coach Steve Cummings the other night, and he was raving about Mike Perito, I believe his name is.
Yeah, number five. He's a great running back. He actually reminds me a lot of Christian Sanfilippo. He runs hard. He's got that secondary burst that once he gets through the line of scrimmage, he really can take off. Hard to tackle. You got to tackle him. You know, you got to get into his hips, or, you know, he'll bounce off people. And he's deceptive. You know, you trap him in the backfield, and he's all over the place. So he's a great runner. You know, I think he's the core of their offense. So, you know, our goal obviously is to stop him.
But like Gloucester, Melrose is not just the one guy on offense.
No, they have threats all over the field. They're a great football team. You know, they throw the ball, they run the ball. The quarterback's a great runner. He can hit the open receiver when it's called upon. And on defense, you know, they remind me a lot of Beverly this year. You know, Beverly's a strong, solid defense. They fly to the ball, and they're really strong on that side of the ball. They got two great middle linebackers who make a lot of plays, and the D linemen, you can't get them off their spots. So I think it's going to be a challenge. I think it's going to be a challenging game. I think our offense has got our work cut out for us, and I think defensively we really got to focus on stopping their weapons, and we'll take it from there.
And finally, between four and five, seated four and five, not a whole lot to choose from, except you know, the Middlesex League. You can look at their opponents and you can look at your opponents on the one hand and on the other hand. But you know, I do remember Danvers last year playing tough opponents all the way along, and then when they came into one of the games, they were just physically beat up.
Yeah, and Melrose is one of those teams that they play, you know, they play a tough conference. Every team in that conference is a good football program. So, you know, they've gotten their mettle tested, you know, and they're going to come out and they're going to try to take it to us. So, you know, our schedule is what it is. We play who we're told to play. And, I think we've done a pretty good job with that. And, now, you know, we'll get to test what we're like against, you know, against a team like Melrose.
All right. Last thing, Tony, any special kind of thing that you focus on in practice this week? I mean, do you guys game plan, team by team?
Absolutely. Yeah. Offensively, we do what we do. We'll throw a thing in here or there every week. But defensively, it's definitely, we prepare every week like it's a new season. So, you know, we got Melrose this week. We'll scout them. We'll break them down, see what they do well, and we'll try to take away their best stuff. And that's our goal every week.
Right. Big crowd coming up on Friday.
Hope
good
so.
Luck,
should
coach.
Be a fun night.
All right.
Thank you.
That's Gloucester football coach Tony Zerilli.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We have wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
All right, we're back at New Balance Field at Newell Stadium. I'm Rick Moore, along with Paul Ingram, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. We are into our Moynihan Lumber pregame show. I tried to play the sound during it didn't work, so I got to figure that out. And our apparently our scoreboard is upside down on the video, but that's okay. Not upside down, but Gloucester is the home team. Gloucester is the home team. We are at Newell Stadium. For those of you who might be wondering about that, again, the rain has stopped pretty much. It's cool and windy, and there are going to be some people here, so that's pretty good. Now, Coach, Gloucester game planning, and what does that mean in high school? How do you game plan for a team? What do you do?
Well, you have your base offense and base defense, and you get films of the other team, and you kind of adjust your defense to stop whatever they do best. And offensively, you look what they do defensively, and you're really not sure exactly what they're going to do defensively. So you have to have, well, you have blocking rules and things like that. But you also look at personnel and you say, you know, this kid's really good. We got to stop him. And then you look for their weak links too. Mm-hmm. And offensively, you try to find maybe secondary guy that's weak. I know we used to always look at the defensive ends first. We really looked at the defensive ends and the outside linebackers, the people who had to cover the flat, and we try to put them in conflict, really go after them. And then in the interior, you'd see, we ran the trap a lot, so we'd see which kid was kind of the kid that would just come across the line of scrimmage. And that's not the idea of it. The idea is to come across under control. Mm-hmm. And we used to usually trap that person who would.
When you have. Now, each team seeing. Well, you know what? We better take a break because Melrose has come back onto the field. I still think we're going to get an early start here, so let's get ready for it anyway. Melrose is already masked on the far side. We're waiting for Gloucester to come on the field, and we're getting ready for the tonight's kickoff. And we'll watch more of that about that later on. Again, live streaming video tonight on Channel B. Glad you're with us. Over on Channel A, it's Wakefield at Danvers. And Marty Smith will be reporting for Marblehead on the Wayland-Marblehead game. So all Northeastern Conference schools in the playoffs tonight, pretty much, not all of them, but most of them being covered tonight with live reports or live radio and video. So we will take our break and then come back. I'm pretty much convinced we're going to start a little bit early, but we'll find out. This is MSONewsSports.com. And tonight it's Melrose and Gloucester. We'll be back.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies, and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
The Bradford Tavern Restaurant in Rowley is unique, with modern touches in a rustic setting offering the finest steaks, freshest seafood, and many quality daily specials. Serving lunch and dinner, the Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week. The restaurant features two separate function rooms, ideal for every need, including business meetings, bridal and baby showers, or any special event. The Bradford Tavern is located at 87 Haverhill Street, Route 133 in Rowley, and online at bradfordtavern.com. We hope to see you soon at the Bradford Tavern. The Institution for Savings has always believed in giving back to our communities because our communities are such great places to live and work. Last year alone, we donated and pledged more than $3.9 million to local nonprofits, including local hospitals, schools, food pantries, art organizations, and more. Named one of Boston Business Journal's top philanthropic companies, we are proud to be your local hometown bank. InstitutionForSavings.com. Member FDIC, DIF, Equal Housing Lender.
If you're interested in replacing your home's kitchen cabinets, please see the kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of Moynihan Lumber's three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Many aspects of estate planning are interrelated, and you can turn to attorney Bob Andruga for Full Service Estate Planning to help you develop a comprehensive plan in providing for your future. Bob will work with you through the years to adapt your plan as needed, and he can assist you with managing wills, trust, probate, and taxes. Visit the law offices of Robert J. Madruga at 128 Main Street, Gloucester, or call today for an appointment at 978-283-6883.
This game is brought to you in part by the Gloucester House Restaurant, offering the freshest seafood right off their boats to your plate. Sarkisian Sportswear, delivering quality team and corporate apparel, located on Route 1 South in Peabody, and at SarkisianSports.com. Lynn Museum, Lynn Arts, preserving Lynn's past and promoting Lynn's future at 590 Washington Street. Columbia Insurance of Lynn, offering auto, home, condo, renters, and business insurance, delivering complete peace of mind. Attorney Robert J. Madruga, see Bob for estate planning and tax preparation. Gloria Food Store, Rantoul Street, Beverly. Honeydew Donuts of Lynn, Salem, Malden, and East Boston.
Okay, we are back, and welcome back to Newell Stadium for tonight's Division IIA playoff football game between Melrose and Danvers. Now, the color guard is just coming onto the field, and so we will be listening to the Gloucester High School Band play the national anthem.
Ladies and gentlemen, would you please rise and remove your hats as the Gloucester High School Pep Band performs our national anthem under direction of Director Dan Fleury and Assistant Director David DiPietro.
About 15 brave souls there in the Gloucester High Pep Band, and I think their lips are probably frozen to the mouthpieces. It is cold out there in the wind.
The officials made a mistake. At the Melrose won the toss and deferred,
right.
And then the official showed Gloucester kicking off to Melrose. I think I don't think Gloucester would choose to do that.
Tonight's officials, the referee is Dick Sawchuk, the umpire Rob Nardone, Frank Posca is the line judge, Rob Marinelli the linesman, back judge is Mike Sullivan, and up here on the clock, of course, is Phil Brody. So let's find out. Yeah, it looks like Melrose will be kicking off from left to right, and they'll have the wind at their backs. You know, when I was in the...
Is the wind at their backs, Rick? I mean...
When I was in the third grade...
It looks like it's going across the field.
Well, you can see the flag there, yeah. It's sort of diagonal. But it's weird because the wind is coming out of the other direction, so I don't know why that flag's blowing that way. But anyway, Gloucester will receive to start this. I was about to say my musical aspirations in third grade were to play the triangle. And you know what they gave me? Remember the two sticks?
Yeah.
Put together? That was it. So.
Yeah, I can't understand that.
No. That's why I'm saying these guys, a lot of respect for these kids who come out here in these conditions and have to sit on these benches and you know, support the team, and they do. Okay, so Melrose will be kicking, as we said, from left to right. Your kicker is Chris Cusolito. He's a freshman at 5'6", and he'll be booting from left to right. Gloucester coming up short. They've got their defensive backs up around the receivers outside of the 15-yard line with Eric Cameron in the middle.
Now, the ball blew off the tee, so 31's going to hold it.
And that is Isaac Side. He's a sophomore. So your kicker is 5'6". All right, it's going to come up into the middle at about the 17 to Cameron. He's going to roll it out to the right side. I think it's Cameron or is it Smith over there? Still going across the 30-31.
I think it was Cameron.
All right, so Gloucester will start. on the far hash mark. This game is underway and the playoffs are underway.
I would say that the play that Melrose has to stop is the sweeping off tackle with Sanfilippo carrying the ball. And I bet Gloucester comes out and tests it right away to see if they can.
Now they're going to have to hold on the ball. The ball was placed on the 32 and it just rolled down to the 35-yard line. And so I think it's at the 32. We'll find out. Yeah, there it goes. All right, so you got your usual Gloucester formation with a wing. Melrose, six linemen up close to the line of scrimmage.
Quite a few people in the box.
Now, Gloucester shifts. We haven't seen that. I believe last week was the first week they used it. It is a sweep to the left. Going to get some positive yardage for about 6 or 7 yards.
Well, a lot of times defensively, you have one defensive end that's really maybe the run stopper, and the other defensive end is probably more of a pass rusher. So you figure that their stronger defensive end is going to go towards the tight end. So Gloucester ends up with the tight end on the right, but shift them to left. So there's a mismatch against the defensive end, if that's what Melrose is going to do.
Nate Young is the quarterback with the split backfield behind him. He's got a wide out to the right. It is Sanfilippo trying to go to the right. He's hitting behind the line of scrimmage, breaks the tackle, and gets very close to the first down.
So Gloucester run the same play, but from two different formations. That was unbalanced line, so they had the tight end, wing, and split end all on the same side.
That is the first down. Now, Sanfilippo over 1,000 yards this season. And, Paul, when you get a chance, comment on what it means to be the all-time leading rusher, because a lot of your runners played like in the first half or through three quarters, and Sanfilippo's had a similar career, I believe. First and 10 for Gloucester. They're at the far hash mark, moving from right to left, just underway here in Gloucester. Nate Young is the quarterback. It's another run play. This time it's up the middle, and that gets 4 or 5 yards, and I think that would be Jermaine Edwards.
Yeah, that was a just an ISO fullback over guard with the halfback leading to block the linebacker.
All the way out to the 48, so that's a 5-yard gain. It is second and 5. Young comes to the near sideline, gets the call, and goes back into the huddle. And again, wind blowing, I don't know, it's kind of swirly. I mean, it's crazy because the flags are blowing toward each other, one at each end zone, so I have no idea what it's doing. And a lot of people here, not bad.
Well, the official has to hold the ball until the center gets it.
Well, you get a sustained 20-mile-an-hour winds right now. So Gloucester with a first down. They send Smith in motion this time. It's going to be a pitch to Sanfilippo, sweeping right, cuts it to the right. Ooh, he's banged right after about a 2-yard gain.
Got
a Melrose. Yep. Melrose contingent right in front of us. Very pleased with that defensive play. 2-yard gain. So it'll be third and about 2 or 3.
Well, that was a quick pitch. You know, Gloss hasn't run that a lot this year. They've been more with a sweep.
All right. Up front, they've got... I'm sorry, Paul.
No, go ahead, Rick.
Chris Cassiteri is the center. Guards are Kyle Acapel, Chris Hernandez, Kevin Gabriel, and Ryan Gabriel are the tackles. They're up against Antonio DiFranzo, 220. Ryan Long, 240. Colin Caffey, 200. And Mike Sickler, 210. Sweep to the left. Smith trying to get outside. He ain't going to make it. Going to lose a yard.
You know, Pedrini.
Yep.
And
Steve Abbott.
Yeah. Boy, he read that, and he fills.
Abbott and Pedrini both. Pedrini,
so this is big here, the kicking game. You know, the snap, the punter catching the snap, and also kicking into the wind because the ball's slick. And a lot of times your punter isn't used to handling the ball. So we'll see.
Lost a yard on the play, so it would be fourth down and 4. And they will be kicking, I don't know if it's into the wind or if they have it in the bags. I have no idea. It is a high snap, and it's Cassiteri's the punter. He gets a low kick, which is great. It's fielded by Abbott back at the 17. He muffed it and was able to get it back to about the 19. So good job, Abbott. It was shoulder high. I don't think he was quite expecting that line drive. It was a good punt considering the conditions. And Melrose was set up shop at the 20, it looks like. No, I can't tell. Where is it, Paul? 20?
Well, Melrose will run various formations. Mostly they're a spread team.
And again, we didn't get the offensive linemen. Not able to make contact with Coach Tim Morris, so we'll try to identify them as we go along. The quarterback is Jack Mays. Running backs are Colin Cameron and Pedrini. Here's a run play. There he goes. Pagrini's gone. He's gone. See you later. One man possibly going to get him. Nope. 80 yards. First play from scrimmage. Touchdown. And there's a penalty marker now. You got to be kidding me. Well, that's the guy we're supposed to watch.
Well, I believe it was the safety they held. Might be a spot foul, so...
Wow.
They're still going to get a first down.
No. Somebody's... I don't know who number five is. Well, we do. Yeah, it looks like he's going to get a first down to the 35. So they'll give him 15 on the carry, and let's see if that's where they mark the ball. All right. You got a 15-yard run that they're crediting him with, and they'll move it back to the 25. Wow. Well, boy, that's a wake-up call on defense. Hello. So they're going to split out Abbott to the right, or is... no, check it. That's Jack Sullivan out to the right side, way out to the right. It's a handoff, run play, nothing. And that is number 32, Colin Kiernan. He's your fullback. So no gain. They're going to put it right out to 25, second and six. After the penalty, it came back. That's... He should have got the first down. I don't know. Yeah, okay, whatever. I'm confused. Second and six for Melrose. And
I believe they
wrong.
Took Pedrini out because of that long run, and now he's back.
Roderick is split way out to the left, and Abbott to the right, ball midway between the hash. Mays, handoff, into the line, run play goes, nothing. Stacked up there, was that Pedrini that time?
Yes, it was.
So Pedrini has stopped for no gain again. And it'll be third down. And six for Melrose. First possession for the Red Raiders. They're right back to the line of scrimmage. And it is third and six, 5:58 left to go first quarter. And they spread the field back in the pistol. Quarterback Mays, low snap. And he hands it off, trying to cut the corner. Pedrini, I don't think he's going to get there. He gets to the 30. Need to get to about the 32.
It looked like a jet sweep into the sideline, and it's fourth down.
Yeah, it's even shorter than that. It's well, it's right
very close,
30.
Though.
Mm-hmm. It sure is. Now, they're lost the receive team going out there, and they're late to get onto the field. As
Melrose made up their mind pretty quick, they're going to punt.
Yeah, it looks like they will punt, and... They do. It's another low kick, which you got to do in the win. It's going to go out of bounds at the Gloucester 40. So, let's see here. Each team with one first down, and each team then having to punt so far in this game. And what an electrifying run by Pedrini.
Yeah, it's actually unfortunate for Melrose, because I believe this who they held was the safety, and Pedrini would have probably beat him on his own.
Wow, so Gloucester starts at their own 40 in game of field position now. Fishermen started on their 20 the first time, and with the exchange of punts, they're now out to the 40 on the far hash mark, going from right to left. Good numbers on the Melrose sideline. Handoff on a counter. Sanfilippo staying second effort. Looked like he was stopped for about 2 yards, and he gets about eight. I thought he was down, Coach. Gets it out to the 48.
Now, that was off tackle, so he got... right in the middle. He's a tough kid to bring down. I mean, he's got a low center of gravity, strong, lowers his shoulders.
And worked his way into the lineup last year. I'll probably never forget that, how he was a sub as a sophomore and a sub as a junior until he convinced the guys, you got to play me. Second down and two for Gloucester, going from right to left. Hand off, up the middle.
Yeah, they ran the fullback trap there.
Edward?
With
yep.
Edward, yeah, right.
Gets a couple. Very close to the first down. Going to say it's about a half a yard short. So give it at the 49. So now it's third and one. It's at the 49. track finally is drying out. The big puddle below us here on the track, you might have read about that in the Gloucester Times, as near stands have a little problem with the foundation. There's a run play up the middle, and Edwards going to get the first down, and plenty more down to the 40-yard line of Melrose. Big first down run. I think these are all Melrose people below us. They're sitting on their hands on that one. But Edward gets the first down to the Melrose 41. Second first down for the Fishermen. 3:50 left to go. Clock rolling along. No rain. Just wind now and cool temperatures. And again, Melrose coach Tim Morris in his 23rd year at Melrose High School.
I'm going flying here with Gloucester, I believe.
First and 10, far hash mark. Here goes a run play. It's going to get big yardage. There goes Sanfilippo. He just tripped up as he crosses the 30. Otherwise, he was gone. Gets it to the 29.
Well, that's a sweep from an unbalanced line, and the defender that's got contained really came up hard and took out the guard, but everybody else got caved in, so there was a hole there.
First and 10 for Gloucester. Clock moving at 3:16. And again, over on Channel A tonight, it is Wakefield at Danvers. Edward off of right tackle, carrying a bunch of guys with him after he hits about five, close to the 25 or 20, well, just at the 26, it looks like. So he gets three.
Two plays designed for Edward are ISO and fullback trap. So that's basically all he's going to run, but that was the ISO.
Colin Casey, Pat Whalen, and Cam Rosie are the linebackers for Melrose. Defensive backs Colin Kiernan, Steve Abbott, Mike Pedrini, and John Roderick. 2.5 left to go. Second down and 6. We're in the first quarter, no score. Gloucester with the ball. Handoff to Sanfilippo. Goes outside, headed toward the first down marker across the 20, down to close to the 15.
One of the things that Sanfilippo does that is he gets his shoulders square to the line of scrimmage, so all his power is gaining yardage going forward, and he's certainly much tougher to bring down that way, too.
Looks like it's at the 16. Gary Sand 17. And Gloucester's on the march now. They're still driving from right to left. Clock moving inside of 2 minutes now in the first quarter. Hand off to Edward. He breaks it outside. There he goes. Scoots it into the end zone. Touchdown, Jermaine Edward. From 16 or 17 yards out. Give him 17. Gloucester leads 6-0.
Now that was the trap.
So Gloucester scores first in this one. And Edward from 17 yards out. Sweep to the right, and for the Fishermen, that is a 7-play, 60-yard touchdown drive with 1:50 left to go in this first quarter. Now, the points after, I think, might be crucial in this one. So let's see if Gloucester can convert. They're going to try to kick it. Brandon Rivera and misses. So the score stays 6-0.
Nearly jumped at the ball rather than, it's like a stroke with your foot. He kind of jumped and attacked it. It was off the side of his foot. One of the things you got to do when you punt and when you kick is you just got to keep your head down.
I wonder if you get psyched by the wind. Does a young man, you know, consider that before he approaches the ball? I mean,
it's a short kick, so you know the wind's not going to affect it that much.
Yeah, but does he know that? You know what I'm saying?
Well,
without experience,
yeah, maybe, maybe not.
Just something to think about. That's all. So Gloucester leads 6-0. They relied on the ground game, of course. It was Edward and Sanfilippo, and a lot has been said before this game about the matchup between Pedrini of Melrose and Sanfilippo of Gloucester. Similar runners, similar import to each offense. So Rivera will kick off, looks like, from the near hash mark for Gloucester.
I think the advantage Gloucester has is they have more weapons.
Well, that remains to be seen, doesn't it?
Well, you can see with Edward and Mark Smith, they all really are good ball carriers.
Abbott and Petrini are back deep for Melrose. Right-footed line drive, bouncing at the 37. Muffed, picked up by Petrini, back at the 15. Oh, he almost got a lane, and he stopped at the 32. Boy, does he accelerate.
Scary, isn't he, Rick?
Wow. Two steps, Paul. Did you see that?
Yeah.
He's covering 5-6 yards in two steps. Mercy.
Well, it should be interesting to see if Melrose is going to throw the ball at all.
145. Petrini, 80 yards on the first carry, and it was called back. 80 yards for a touchdown on the first carry. It was called back on a holding call. He was stopped after that. Had to catch his breath. Ball out to the Melrose 33, first and 10 for the Red Raiders in their all-white uniforms. They've spread the field. Two on the right, one on the left in the pistol. Hand off to the second back on a counter. And that's Petrini. He is swarmed under after about a two-yard gain. I learned swarmed under from
I'm not sure, but I would assume that the linebacker's key on Petrini. He's going to get the ball 75% of the time.
1 yard gain, second and nine. No huddle for Melrose. And this time it's going to go to the other side. Petrini sweeping to the left, looking for a block. Gets it. And he gets the first down on a short tackle, open field tackle. Otherwise, he was gone, but he got the first down.
Yeah.
Looks like
Young's
he was
really
young.
Impressed. Yeah. He's really impressed me in the secondary. He's a very good tackler, and he covers receivers very well. And that was a nice tackle on a tough kid.
Short tackle, and might have saved the touchdown as it is. Petrini gets nine and the first down. Now Melrose is driving. They're out to the 43. Minute left to go. First quarter, 6-0 Gloucester. One man in the backfield. Twins out left and right for Melrose. Quarterback is Jack Mays. And he's going to give it to Petrini. Wasn't sure if he was going to take it out or not, but
right.
Petrini kept it and got a couple yards to the 42. Oh, maybe it's a yard loss.
Gloucester defenders are playing way off the wideouts. Certainly looks like easy pickings in the flat.
Well, that is a one-yard loss for Petrini as the team looks to the sidelines for the signal. The offense does. Now we get a different quarterback in there. No, it's Mays. Sorry about that. Mays is under center this time. And he will throw a quick pitch out to the left side. And that looked like to be a lateral. It's complete. And it's going to get yardage out to about the 48.
Where they get the ball in his hands, don't they? Huh?
Was that, yeah, Petrini.
Yeah, they put him at slot and just ran a quick screen outside.
Looks like it's at the 40, just short of the 48. 6 yard gain. So now it's third and four. Third and five almost. Who takes? Oh, that's the end of the first quarter already. Sorry about that. So we'll take our break. It's 6-0 Gloucester from Newell Stadium.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
The Bradford Tavern Restaurant in Raleigh is unique, with modern touches in a rustic setting offering the finest steaks, freshest seafood, and many quality daily specials. Serving lunch and dinner, the Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week. The restaurant features two separate function rooms, ideal for every need, including business meetings, bridal and baby showers. Special event, the Bradford Tavern is located at 87 Haverhill Street, Route 133 in Raleigh, and online at bradfordtavern.com. We hope to see you soon.
All right, I got to cut this short. Hit the wrong one. We'll do our makeup in a second here, but right now we are back underway, and this will be a pass play. It's going to be incomplete, intended for Petrini at the Gloucester 44-yard line.
Matt Smith on coverage with that.
So we'll do our makeup here in a second, maybe when we have a timeout. Yep, it is another fourth down now that Melrose is facing, and the ball is at their own 48. They actually gained a yard on that pass play. It looks like they gained 2 yards on it. They put it at the 50. Oh, there it goes at the 49. So they gained 1 yard on the pass play. That was incomplete. So it's a fourth down for Melrose, and they'll be punting. Oh, Pedrini's going to run with it. No, he runs and kicks it. Oh, a high punt that's going to hit at the Gloucester 20 and roll out of bounds at about the 15.
What a good nice move. Bad snap. And yeah. He had one of the problems is when you get a bad snap, your feet aren't aligned. You know, when you want the snap right at your front of you, at your midline, and then you go through your steps straight forward, but it was off to the right, so then he had to readjust his feet. Nice Ooh. Kick. Big
well,
play.
Terrific. Terrific play by Pedrini, though, but that could have been disaster for Melrose. Instead, they push Gloucester all the way back to their own 14-yard line, just underway in the second quarter. Only score of the game, 17-yard run by Jermaine Edward. 6-0 Gloucester, flag hanging limp off to our left. Run play, and it's got positive yardage for about 6 or 7. Christian Sanfilippo with the carry. 7-yard gain. My. 10:28 left to go. Clock moving. Gloucester staying on the ground. Melrose with a couple of pass attempts. The opener of the playoffs before Thanksgiving. I don't know. Still hard for me to fathom. Gloucester will send a receiver way out wide to the right. I think it's Cameron. But it's a run play up the middle. It's not going to get much. But close to the first down. Is that Edward again?
No, it's nope, Sanfilippo.
He's going to come out. Gets the first down. My. They needed, let's see, 3. He got 4. And Sanfilippo comes out, I think, for a breather. Nate Young over the sideline.
His shoe came off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So again, Paul, what's the feel like when it rains like this? You say it drains, and so it's just fine to play on, not slippery or anything.
Yeah, it's got great drainage. I mean, you'll never see traction. A puddle out there.
Mm-hmm. First and 10, Gloucester. They're at the far hash mark, headed toward the canal. This is a counter play.
Trap.
Yeah, I think it's Smith.
Jermaine.
Was it Edward?
Yes.
All right. Well, he gets positive yardage, Coach. What do you talk about on schedule?
Yeah, that 330 yards per carry, and you're all set. Just get first downs and let the touchdowns take care of themselves.
Well, Edward does get 3 yards, so it's second and 7. And what do you see on defense for Melrose?
Well,
you got 4-4. Hard to say.
I know that they're in a 50 defense, but they all season they had run a 4-4.
Gloucester left a little bit early on that one, so we'll bring this one back. First penalty of the game against Gloucester. We've had one against Melrose. So it'll be second and 12, moving the ball back 5 to the 23.
One of the other things you have to do is make sure your snap count changes. What happens if you go on, and kids have a tendency to go on one all the time, and then you change it to 2, and they go on one.
Okay. Quarterback do a dope slap when it happens. Do you ever get frustrated when you're doing that? Your guys do that in high school or college?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tendency.
Yeah,
you've got to change the snap count.
Second and 12, Gloucester back at their own 23. This is a roll to the right. Sanfilippo gets a block, and he squirts forward and gang tackled at the 26 or 27. So not a lot there on that one. Maybe 4. Third down now. Big third down for each team. Early on, 8 minutes to go. Gloucester leading 6-0. They mix the extra point. Going to put the ball down at the 27.
No. Gloucester has a tendency in a third and long to run the wing back. They fake the ISO and run the wing back around and give it to him deep.
Wing is on the right this time, and it's going to come with a double handoff. That is Smith going outside, trying to cut the corner. He does! He's down the sideline, gets the first down, and close to the 45-yard line. First down, Gloucester. Wow. So, fleet of feet, little guy. Mark Smith, 5-8, 165 gets the first down for Gloucester on a big third down call. Out to the 37, 10 yards. This will be the seventh play of the drive. Remember, this one started back at their own 14, and it started with just under 11 minutes left to go. So Gloucester keeping the ball away from Pedrini and Melrose. Or from Melrose and Pedrini, however you want to look at it. All right, this is a pass action, play action. It is incomplete as Jermaine Edward quite got spun around and couldn't quite catch it.
No, that's made to look like off tackle, and the fullback off tackle kicks out the defensive end. On this pass play, he runs by the defensive end and goes out in the short flat, and your tight end and wing back clear for him.
Hope you're enjoying the video tonight. Let us know at msonewsports@gmail.com. Another game tomorrow coming up, as we'll have Somerville at Beverly. That game is at 1 o'clock.
There's a balanced line again. It is sweep this way. No, it's off tackle.
Second and 10, up the middle, breaking tackle, Sanfilippo. Look at him plow forward. Melrose, look at that. He won't go down until he gets close to the first down. Wow. Drive, determination. What do you say, Coach? He keeps his legs going?
Yeah, he takes short steps, too, which is good. You know, he's got good leverage, and he gets his shoulders square. Well, that's the most important thing.
So the ball will be at the 47. All right, we're going to take a quick break as they measure and try to catch up with our spots here, so we'll be right back.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
If you're thinking of renovating your home, please talk to the experienced sales staff at Moynihan Lumber. That's 82 River Street in downtown Beverly. Or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
We're back, sweep to the right, and Edward would get the first down, but there's a penalty flag that I think it's going to go against Gloucester. He got it all the way down inside the, well, he got it right to the Melrose 40. From his own 47, but I think it's coming back, and it is. Holding on Gloucester. That's a big one. So 6:35 left to go in the first half, and Gloucester holding on to a 6-0 lead, but that penalty is huge. It's going to put the ball, well, I'm not going to lose a yard. Yeah, there goes.
Stepped it off yet,
yeah,
now he is.
From scrimmage. All right, goes back to the 37 from the 47, so that is a big loss. Thought it might have been upfield a little bit more. Had to be right at the line of scrimmage. So now it's first and 20 for Gloucester. At their own 37 again, they're headed toward the canal from left to right. Clock moving, Phil Brody punches the start button as the referee windmills his arm. Run play, nothing. Zero.
Well, what happened was a quarterback center exchange. He fumbled the ball.
Loses a yard, and now it's third and 21. Or check it, second and 21.
I always told the center, if he doesn't get a good grip on it, just complain to the official. Well, not much they're going to do, but at least try and get a dry ball. Some of them will exchange it, some won't.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's windy, but it's not raining. So the rain has stopped. And
a lot of times, too, when a quarterback's going to throw the ball, he tries to get out from under center quicker.
Great turnout by the Gloucester student body and their Southwesters. Pretty cool. Way down to our right. Second and 21. It's going to be a pitch sweep to the right. Oh, almost bobbled by Sanfilippo. Trying to follow a block, and he's going to be wrapped up at the 42. So
I would say size-wise, both teams are about equal. Speed-wise, about equal there, too.
Another six for Sanfilippo. That's his 11th carry so far. Knocking on the door for 100 in this first half. Now, Gloucester facing a third and 15. They've held on to the ball for over 5 minutes here in this half. but they're only out to their own 42 with a third and very long. Melrose.
Pedrini, like I said, they have a tendency to run ISO reverse or just plain reverse. So
Pedrino's about 20 yards off the line of scrimmage at safety. It's going to be a pass play. Flared out to the left, complete to Sanfilippo. Back to the line of scrimmage. Breaks a tackle. Gets the first down to the Melrose 40-yard line. Wow. 18-yard gain and first down for Gloucester. Is that clutch?
Yeah, Connor Russell ran that for a touchdown in the Super Bowl. You fake the sweep to the halfback and have him just continue down the field, and they leave him alone.
Wow.
And Melrose left him alone.
First and 10, Gloucester at the Melrose 40-yard line. Clock still moving, 4:23 left to go, and this will be the 13th play of the drive. Hand off, there goes Edward up the middle, and he gets positive yardage to the 36 before he's driven backward. Second and 6, Gloucester. Drive started way back at the Gloucester 14-yard line after a terrific athletic play by Pedrini to recover the ball on a botch snap on the punt and then kick the ball way back for Gloucester. For Melrose, pushing Gloucester back. But fishermen have held on ever since. This will be the 14th play of this drive. Clock continues to roll. Gloucester taking their time coming out of the huddle. On the far hash mark. Cameron split to the right.
Balanced line again.
Split backfield. Hand off up the middle. Sanfilippo submarining forward for another first down.
Eight on the play.
Jeez. Big hole on that right side. Sanfilippo spotted it and went right through it. Another 9 yards for Christian Sanfilippo.
Good timeout by Melrose. You gotta try to break Gloucester's momentum here. Come up something defensively.
Well, total yardage, Sanfilippo's over 100. He's got 83 yards on the ground, 18 in the air. And it's a matchup between Sanfilippo and Pedrini, and right now the difference is ball control. Gloucester holding on to it. And Marblehead's out in front, 21-0 now over Whalen. This one is 6-0. The only score of the game coming at the 150 mark of the first quarter. Jermaine Edward, a sweep covering 17 yards. And Gloucester, again, ball control in this first half, holding onto it right now, but only a 6-0 lead. Melrose calling up the timeout to stop the Gloucester momentum, or hope to stop the Gloucester momentum. Back on their heels now. First and 10 after the Sanfilippo run. Ball is at the Melrose 27. Officials having to hold onto the ball because of the wind out there. And you can see that it is still significant. But a terrific, terrific crowd here. Melrose travels well. Red Raiders out of the Middlesex League. Gloucester out of the Northeastern Conference. It is a double handoff again, with Smith getting the call from left to right. And he goes across the 25 to the 20. Mark Smith. Second time he's handled the ball on that double handoff. Gets it to the 27. Now Gloucester goes no huddle. Second down and, well, three to go for the first down. Wing on to the right. And Sanfilippo puts the brakes on, cuts left. 90-degree turn and gets close to the first down. He was headed outside and immediately pivoted to his left and went up downfield. And let's see, short of the first down at the 18, not the 17. It is a first down. He got three more. It's at the 16, first and 10. Gloucester, no huddle. Ball midway between the hash marks. Gloucester still headed to the canal. Double handoff the other side. Smith going to his left, cutting it outside. He goes across the 10 and inside the 10-yard line as he goes out of bounds.
Something a little different Gloucester's doing now. They're running two tight ends and two two wings, so it's double wing, it's called offense, and they're just running sweep to either side.
The ball is spotted at the 8-yard line. So it's a second down and a long one or a short two. Two and a half minutes left to go. The clock has stopped because Smith went out of bounds. Melrose up against it now, trying to stop the momentum. It's only 6-0. Gloucester knocking on the door with a second and two. Hand off to Edward up the middle. I think he'll have the first down and a little bit more, and it'll be first and goal. Yep. He gets three. And it's first and ten. Check it. First and goal from the five. I'm going to ask Nick Sanfilippo to step in at halftime and see what Nick Sanfilippo. How about Nick Kukuru? It's the beard, Nick. Yeah, I know. Oh, goodness. Kukuru, Sanfilippo, Gigoloni. All right, so it's first and goal from the five for Gloucester on the far hash mark. They've had the ball this entire second quarter. I think Melrose ran one play, and I think that was the punt. Check it. And it's a run play up the middle. And it's a touchdown. Sanfilippo scores. And it's 12-0 Gloucester. So Sanfilippo scores from 5 yards out, right up the middle. And for Gloucester, check this out. That's an 18-play, 86-yard drive. With 1:48 left to go in the half.
Well, it appears the winner of this game is going to end up playing Marble.
Yeah. Well.
And
that's something to look forward to. Okay, here's that double handoff again on the two-point conversion attempt. He's not going to make it. He's just horse-collared out of bounds, and the attempt stops. So we will take a break with the score from Newell Stadium, Gloucester 12 and Melrose 0. We will be right back.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We'll treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever you plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Well, again, stats leaning heavily to Gloucester right now. 163 total yards of offense for the Fishermen in his first half. 25 for Melrose. And that is uncharacteristic, of course, of the Red Raiders. And they need to get on track trailing 12-0. Seems like the score should be bigger. So Melrose with a chance now. They get on the scoreboard. They can cut it significantly. And they need to either score quickly or have some kind of good long drive. Comes to a short man at the 25-yard line. Going to return from the numbers left over to the hash right out to the 38-yard line. And
Isaac Seed.
Yep, Isaac Seed. He's a sophomore, 5'9", 175. And now the Red Raiders get the ball for the third time.
Am I wrong?
Check it for the
Melrose will lose on one pass.
Yes, one in, no, two. One was complete to Pedrini, the other was incomplete. So they're starting at their own 39-yard line with 1:42 left to go in the half. And this will be a keeper by the quarterback, Mays. Nothing. Is there a fumble? Hold on. I think.
Usually they'll throw a beanbag.
Right, Melrose.
Yeah, fumble. I didn't see a beanbag, so.
Melrose maintains possession, but Mays didn't get anywhere. Fake handoff to Pedrini, and Mays was dropped right at the line of scrimmage. Second and 10 for Melrose. They don't do the huddle. They look to the sidelines for the signal. They've got twins to the right, Handoff, Pedrini sweeping to the right. Cuts the corner. He's down the sideline, and he breaks a tackle. Great yardage down to about the Gloucester 43.
Well, he had a great block on the outside. I don't know who it was, but boy, they took down the corner of Gloucester.
Well, they're going to give it to the 45. So that's a 16-yard gain, biggest gain of the night, except for the 80-yarder.
Got to call a timeout.
Who did?
Well, he didn't get out of bounds, and the referee started to wind up the clock, and I think the coaches are arguing he did get out of bounds.
Well, the clock is stopped with 55 seconds left, and the ball is at the Gloucester 45. And Melrose on the march now, down by 12. Big gainer for Pedrini, 16 yards. First and 10. Melrose leading, or check it, Gloucester leading. Jermaine Edward, Christian Sanfilippo. Bruce with the touchdowns. Still waiting for the
He knows that. Everyone's helping him out.
I know. You got referees. You got, oh, my God. Yeah, you guys come up here and
do it. I know.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
All right, 1 minute left to go now. Clock reset. 1 minute left to go. Offset eye. Handoff up the middle. 4 or 5 yards.
He's saying he didn't go down.
I'm not sure he did. Pedrini might have gone over a player, but he tried to get up after 5 yards and run some more. They stopped the clock, and there is a timeout. Now they'll put the ball at the 40, at the 42. So yeah, it's a 3 yard gain, and 2nd and 7. Clock stops with the timeout. Should be Melrose's 3rd timeout. Marblehead leading big over Whalen at the end of the first half, 21-0. This one is 12-0 Gloucester over Melrose. And over on Channel A, it's Wakefield and Danvers. Nick tells me Danvers is leading over Wakefield, 14-0, close to the halftime. 2nd and 7. And there's a pistol with Abbott in motion. He gets the handoff, and he gets about 2 yards on that right side, maybe to the 41. I'm not even sure he got anything on that where they put the ball. Steve Abbott is 5'11", 190. He's a senior. Oh, 170, rather. Yeah, they're not going to give him anything on that. So it's 3rd down and 7. And another timeout spent.
Really?
I think they've got one left.
Yeah, they're really not going to the pass.
All right. Yeah, they've thrown the ball twice. And the first time, both targets were Pedrini. He caught one. The other one was incomplete. 42 seconds left to go in this first half. We'll talk about it on Monday night, that and a lot more with Tim Curran's on North Shore Sports Night at 7 o'clock on MSONewsSports.com. And check out the weekend preview show with Bill Newell, talking to all the coaches in the area. Ball on a far hash mark, so the near side is the wide side of the field with Twins. Mays back in the shotgun. Gloucester jumps. I think they get back. Pedrini the handoff. Gets a block. Turns the corner. Breaks tackles, and he gets the first down to the 35.
They better call timeout again.
Nice run by Pedrini.
It's a first down, so the clock stops.
Yep, to the 35, 7 yard gain, 1st and 10. 27 seconds, 26.9 left to go in the first half.
Boy, they're a little slow calling timeout there. As soon as that ball went down, they should have called timeout.
That should be. Well, it's not their last one. We don't get the signal, so that's their 4th. They got one more to go. So there's still time. 26.9. 3 seconds marked off on the clock. And Melrose really pushing for this score. They need it. And they get the ball to open the second half. Now they're out of timeouts now, I believe. Just saw the signal there. And Coach Morris is coming over and complaining about the clock. Dick Sawchuk, the supervisor of officials, I guess it's called.
Well, I think his argument is probably they got a first down and the clock didn't stop. But I don't think the timer actually knows if it's a first down until they actually give the signal.
Well, you can't presume it.
Right.
All right, so they're still arguing. The coaches of Melrose are still arguing their case. So we do have that stop. Lost our players on the near sideline, rooting the team on. And a lot of people here tonight. Spread the word that we have MSO live streaming video. We got the big screen at the Gloucester House, and we got the big screen at the Sylvan Street Grill. So if you're out in that area, stop in for a little libation, maybe something to eat, and watch the game. The guys in white, Melrose. The guys with the maroon tops, Gloucester. Melrose headed away.
Melrose has got to come up with something a little bit bigger than...
Well, they got the weapon with Pedrini, but it's a play action. Mays throws it underneath to Pedrini, who squirts outside, breaks a tackle, and goes out of bounds to stop the clock with 19.2. What a weapon.
Well, they're lucky they got him out of bounds, because he's...
Yeah, he broke tackles, he's strong, trying to tackle up high, and the ball is at the Gloucester 23, 12-yard gain, another first down. 19.2, plenty of time left for Melrose. Twins to the left. Ball on the far hash mark. Shotgun. Mays. Keeps it. No, he gives it off to Pedrini. I thought Mays had it. And Pedrini gets it down to the 11. And the clock is still moving. Now they stop the clock with the first down.
No, I believe they had another timeout, Rick.
Well, stopped it very quickly. That's got to be the last one. Yeah, this is a full timeout. So they're going to put the ball at the 11, just outside, yeah, right on the 11.
Well, I think they're going to have to throw the ball and either get an incomplete pass or a touchdown.
All right, well, it's Pedrini on this drive. Let me tell you, Pedrini with 1, 2, 3 carries, and he's got four carries, and he's got the pass completion from Mays. That kept the drive alive. So now 11.3 seconds left to go in the first half. Gloucester leading 12-0. Melrose getting some momentum, getting some rhythm on offense, Coach.
Right, they are.
This will be their eighth play, and they started back at their own 39.
The secondary is so far off their receivers. Of course, now... You got less field to cover, so they'll probably be tighter. But you know, it's Pedrini, though. You probably go to their best player, and he's certainly their best player.
Well, you can see the hitch and the giddy up of Melrose. They can feel it. They can.
Well, he's in the backfield,
yep.
So we'll see if they put him into a pass route or what they'll do.
Yep, he's going out for a pass. They're going to him. Oh, it's kept by Mays. He's going to go, and she gets stopped and crushed at about the 2-yard line. The clock is moving, and I think time will run out. They don't get in, and that's the end of the half. What a finish to the half.
Yeah, he had to throw the ball, unless he had a... Unless he was just definite he could get in.
And nobody covered Pedrini, Coach. Pedrini just
really?
Walked right out of the backfield, right up the middle. Nobody went near him. Well, that's the end of the first half, and we'll come back and talk about this one and a lot of other stuff with Nick Kukuru and Paul Ingram in just a little while here. 12-0, Gloucester leading this one over Melrose. Stay with us.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson 400 series windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire. The Anderson 400 is attractive, durable, energy efficient, and reasonably priced. Remember, Anderson is the most trusted name in windows. See the Anderson 400 at any of our three locations. That's North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies, and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan, plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Hi, this is Saka Sarkisian, owner of Sarkisian Sportswear, located on Route 1 South in Peabody. We are a sports team dealer and custom apparel distributor that can handle all of your team's or company's uniform and apparel needs. So stop by and visit us at 182 Newbury Street in Peabody to see our storefront. Visit with our friendly and helpful staff and let us help you get the right fit for your program. Also, you can visit our website, SarkisianSports.com, to view our monthly specials and learn more about us.
MSO Newsports.com. MSO Radio.
We are at the half with Gloucester leading 12-0, and the scoring recap won't take long. Jermaine Edwards scoring for Gloucester back at 150. That finished off a 7-play, 60-yard touchdown drive. That was a 17-yard run for Jermaine Edwards, and then Christian Sanfilippo from 5 yards out. That was an 18-play, 86-yard touchdown drive with 148. I think it's 148 left to go in the first half. I want to mention the great work that Jason Fazina is doing for us, too, at streamography.com out there in the cold and the wind. I'm not going to mention Andy, though, right? Okay. And guys out there outside, the wind is blowing right on that side of the stands, too. That's off to the right as we look at the field. So not much to choose from there, but a couple of touchdowns. And end of the first half, finished with Melrose knocking on the door, being stopped at the 2-yard line as time ran out. I'll check my stats with Nick in a minute, but I have 163 total yards of offense for Gloucester, half of that for Melrose, and 59 of the 84 Melrose yards came on this most recent drive. Individually, Christian Sanfilippo, 20 carries, 96 yards on the ground, one pass reception for 18 yards in the air. That's 114 total yards in that first half. And for Mike Pedrini of Melrose, can you believe it? He's 67 yards on 9 carries, and it looked like he was stopped. But he's got 67 yards, and he's got two pass completions for 29. So he's got a total of 86 yards overall. So Gloucester leading this one by that score of 12-0. And we'll get Nick Kukuru on here while he's working.
I was just doing the same stats you were.
You tweeting yeah. The score? All right, so when you get a chance, we'll check our stats here. But
yeah, I had Sanfilippo for a little. I had him 14 for 90. And then I had Pedrini 11 rushes for 75.
All right, let me change. I'm going to change Pedrini's. I'm going to keep Sanfilippo. Yeah. I gave him more than you did. All right. Okay, so I don't know, Nick. First time we've seen Melrose, but Gloucester ball control, and I probably shouldn't say anything about security, but that's huge in that first half. No turnovers for either
big
team.
Big time, yeah. And, you know, the big difference was, you know, Gloucester got a bad penalty and converted a big third down. Melrose got a bad penalty and went 3 and out. And basically, that's the difference in the game right now. I mean, has the feel of a pretty evenly played
I know.
Game. I know Gloucester chewed up a ton of yards and time on that last drive, so the numbers might be a little more off balance. But, it seems like two teams, this game seems far from over, put it that way.
I think the other couple of things that stand out is Pedrini's athletic ability on that punt. He was in punt.
Yeah.
The center, the snap was way off. He went way to his right to get it, and then it looked like he was going to run, and he kicked a beautiful punt that pinned Gloucester back at the 14.
Yeah, and I don't know. I may be wrong, but I thought that kind of looked like a designed fake when he first, just the way he started running with the ball
thinking.
When he first picked
yeah.
it up. He looked like he was running with a purpose. But in the end, you got a nice punt off. But Gloucester, 9 minutes, 86 yards.
Yep.
And that has the Fishermen in control right now. We'll see this drive. Melrose needs a score.
I think the other thing is the reliability of Sanfilippo, of course. But also, I look at Jermaine Edward. I got him for 8 carries and 48 yards,
yeah.
and Smith has got a couple of carries for first downs.
Yeah, exactly. That's been
for
big.
Gloucester.
I think they've used Smith really well tonight, done those reverses. They're getting their chunks of yards with, Sanfilippo off tackle, Edwards on those ISO and trap plays, and then, maybe when they're making an adjustment to move in on one of them, they're sneaking Smith out on that reverse, and that's working. Huge third down conversion when Gloucester was pinned down deep in its own territory, another game-changing play. Smith got 10 yards. I think they needed 8. I think it was a 3rd and 8, and he got 10. That led to a score, and then obviously you have the Sanfilippo third and 15 and the 18-yard pass play.
And Nate Young made, a touchdown-saving tackle as well on Pedrini,
yes,
didn't he?
Yes, he did. And they made another great play in that last drive. I don't think he ended up making the tackle, but Matt Smith slowed him down down on the other end when they snuck Pedrini out of the backfield. So those are two huge tackles. But, what acceleration on Pedrini. He looks like there's nothing there, and then he'll turn on the jets, and he gets to full speed immediately.
Paul and I were talking about that. I think it was on a punt or a kickoff. I can't remember, but two strides, and he was lightning. Yeah, that was
that's
pretty amazing.
That's as good of acceleration as we've seen all season from anybody.
So elsewhere, it looks like Danvers is going to beat or is on the way to winning against
Danvers
Wakefield.
14-0 on Wakefield. Marblehead's all over Wayland, which isn't much of a surprise. Peabody is up on Westford Academy, which is a nice score for them. I believe it's 14-6.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because Peabody, we did the Danvers-Peabody game last week, and Danvers kept the ball away from Peabody all night long.
Yeah.
It was like 80 snaps to 30. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And Peabody just couldn't get on track in that weather.
Peabody's a pretty good team. We have Lynn English right there against North Andover, only down 14-8 at the half. I thought Lynn English would get rolled, but...
Is that a playoff game?
Right, I think that's a playoff game.
Against North Andover? Okay.
I don't know. Maybe I'm.
Well, let me see. No,
I know Lynn English won one game.
No, it's not.
It's not. Okay.
No, it's not.
I'll forget about that one.
No. Don't forget. We're still a conference team, and they're out of conference. You got to pull for those guys. Yeah, English against North Andover out of conference. Other games we have Revere at Chelmsford. That's going to be a tough one for Revere.
7-0 Revere.
Go, Coach Ciccatelli.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Good. All right, and you got. Let's see, Waltham at Masco.
Masco was ahead 12-0 last I saw. I haven't seen an update in the last about 20 minutes, but it was 12-0 Masconomet.
12-0, and what'd you say Peabody was over?
Peabody was up 14-6 over Westford Academy.
14-6, got a score from Marty Smith over in Marblehead. They're leading 28-6 now. Wait a minute, let me read that again. Yeah, 28-0. 28-0.
Well, that's what the one seed should do to the eight seed.
Yeah, and this game, of course, the winner of this one has to go to Marblehead next week.
Yeah, that's your reward for winning a very hard-fought game. You have to go to Marblehead next week.
And what'd you say, Danvers and Wakefield?
14-0 Danvers.
14.
There.
All right.
Yeah.
And then elsewhere tonight, it's Bedford at North Reading. We've got Amesbury at Bishop Fenwick, Swampscott and Triton. That should be interesting.
Yeah, Fenwick's up 17-6 on Amesbury.
Fenwick
at the half.
At the half, yep. And
it's not much of a surprise either.
Pentuck at Newburyport. You get anything on that from Dan?
Yeah. I know he's at that one. 14-7 Newburyport at the half there. I know that was kind of a weird little glitch in the system there where Kentucky had to go to Newburyport, beat Newburyport, and had one more win than Newburyport.
Yeah, weird.
But Newburyport beat 2 5-win teams, so it got a little inflated there.
All right, I'm going to put you on the spot. Anything from Winthrop and St. Mary's?
St. Mary's 30-0.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's from Steve Krause.
Right. All right.
And the first quarter's not even over yet.
All right, we got to get back here to Coach Ingram in a second, but Nick, tournament teams on Cape Ann?
Yeah, only three of them coming up. We got Gloucester Field Hockey as the lone Gloucester team. Rockport got shut out, and then in Manchester we got the field hockey team and the boys soccer team. All three of them will be high seeds. All three of them teams to really look out for. So it's an exciting time this season.
Tell me about that field hockey Danvers game.
Yeah, strange finish yesterday. First time I've ever seen a goal on a five-girl pileup on the goal line. That's about what it was. You know, it was like a football play. The ref made the signal for a penalty, you know, shot, and then she goes in, she moves everyone off the pile, saw the ball was over the line, and called a goal with 5 seconds left.
So what's supposed to give up four goals all year or something like that?
Yeah.
And they got three losses?
They're 12-4-2.
12-4-2,
all right. So they'll get a high seed. They'll be fine.
Okay. And what else do we got?
That's about it. Manchester Essex Field Hockey's undefeated. I'd love to see them two play each other, battle at Cape Ann, Juggernauts. And Manchester Essex Boys Soccer actually just won its first ever Cape Ann League championship.
Excellent.
So there'll be a team to look out for in Division 4. But field hockey's the only Gloucester team in football we got so far alive. So we'll see how that goes.
All right, we're at the half. It's 12-0 Gloucester. My thanks to Nick Cooper of the Gloucester Times. Thanks, Nick. And we will take a break and come back with more halftime talk here from Newell Stadium in Gloucester. We'll be back.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright double-hung insert window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
Looking for a reliable place to produce your team's uniforms or your business's corporate apparel? Then Sarkisian Sportswear is the place for you. Conveniently located on Route 1 South in Peabody, Mass., Sarkisian Sportswear handles all aspects of your needs, from price quoting to providing visual proofs to production completion. Visit our website, SarkisianSports.com, to view our monthly specials, vendor catalogs, and to request a quote. Remember, Sarkisian Sportswear is the place to go.
All right, at the half, it's 12-0 Gloucester. I'm Rick Moore, along with Paul Ingram, our producer and engineer, Bill Poposky, and very comfortable up here in the press box, isn't it?
Nice.
Of course, it's really crowded, too, when it gets cold out. People come flocking in here, don't they?
Yeah. Some I don't recognize.
Huh? You
know? Some I don't recognize.
I know. Just talking with Nick, we got some scores, Paul, and maybe just, what you're thinking. Peabody leading Westford Academy, 14-6. Masco leading, and these are all halftime scores. Masco over Waltham, 12-0. Third quarter, Marblehead out in front of Wayland, 28-0. Danvers over Wakefield, 14-0. Bishop Benwick leading Amesbury, 17-6. Newburyport, 14-7. And Newburyport leading Pawtucket, 14-7. St. Mary's, 30, Winthrop, 0. And Nick just gave me an update on the Revere score, and I lost it. What was it, Nick? 14-0, Revere leading.
And Revere's playing
Chelmsford.
Wow. Yeah. That's good for Revere.
They're playing very well, Coach. They started off, you know how traditionally they have three or four or five wins in a row to start a season is what they've been doing lately, and then they run into a little bit of a problem.
Right.
This year it's been reversed. I think they lost their first three or four games. Now they've won three or four in a row.
Yeah.
And they've been good wins. And Coach Ciccatelli said the kids feel good, they feel confident, they're healthy for a change. So who knows?
Well, that's a good score for them. That's big for that program, too.
No.
Well, I'm not shocked by any of them, to be quite honest. St. Mary's is really tough, and obviously Marblehead is probably one of the best teams on North Shore, if not the best. So it'd be interesting to see, how Melrose comes out in the second half. I think they've got to stop Gloucester. Prove that they can shut them down and make them punt. And then they prove they can move the ball.
Oh, yeah.
But defensively, they've got to just get them out, you know, and can't let them have those long possessions where they eat up 5, 6, 10 minutes, you know, and that leaves them very little time to score. But well, the thing with Pedrini is, I mean, he can go at any time and go the distance, so he's certainly a big play person.
I want to make comparisons here. Sanfilippo, 20 carries, 96 yards, one catch, 18 yards for Gloucester. Pedrini, 9 carries, 67 yards, 2 receptions for 29 yards, so very, very comparable.
Right, and the thing that Sanfilippo and Gloucester have going for them is they have those other backs that you gotta defend against, you know, Edward and Smith. And Pedrini, you know, he's the whole show, it seems, at this point. I mean, he touches the ball, you know, probably 75-80% of the time on offense.
Well, I'll tell you what, though, Mays on that pass play, I don't know if that was a pass play, a quarterback, keeper, whatever it was, but he scrambled. He's got some speed, got him down to the 2-yard line. And
right,
and
in some of the films, he made some great runs. It's just that it's kind of, you know, it's been all Pedrini. And, you know, I think he should have understood the situation. If he definitely couldn't get in the end zone, he's got to throw the ball to stop the clock, because it just, if he got tackled short of the end zone, the time's going to run out, no more timeouts, and that's what happened. I think the rain has picked up again.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, we'll take a break, come back with the second half. You're listening to MSO News Sports. At the half, it's Gloucester 12, Melrose 0. We'll be back.
The Porthole Restaurant is a North Shore dining tradition. Enjoy waterfront dining in a casual atmosphere. The Porthole features outstanding quality, quantity, and price. Known for a full variety of menu selections, you must try the award-winning clam chowder, fresh off the boat seafood, lobsters, prime rib, steaks and chops, daily luncheon and dinner specials. They feature spacious and well-appointed function rooms. The Porthole, a great value, a great dining experience. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week on the water on the Linway in Lynn.
The Lynn Museum, located at 590 Washington Street in the heart of Lynn's emerging downtown cultural district, offers a unique perspective on history as told through the experiences of one of America's most consequential cities. Come this fall and see our newest exhibits, Industry and Craft, People at Work in Lynn, and Collecting for the Objects of Lynn. We're open Tuesdays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Saturdays, 9 to 1 p.m., or online at lynnmuseum.org.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
Team up with The Daily Item at itemlive.com, your community information connection. The Daily Item features colorful, timely stories highlighting the North Shore. The new look page focuses on people, places, and things. The Item is presenting news in a user-friendly format. Don't miss any local news or reading features on your neighbors. Check out The Item today. It's all new every day. For home delivery, call 781-593-7700 or go to itemlive.com. Honey News, seasonal favorites are finally here. Nothing says fall more on a crisp, cool morning than a hot pumpkin spice or maple cream coffee. Complement these coffee flavors with a tasty pumpkin muffin, deliciously sweet cranberry apple stick, or a freshly baked tart apple cider donut. Visit our locally owned and operated Honeydew Donut Shops located on the Linway and Western Avenue in Lynn, Eastern Avenue in Malden, Canal Street in Salem, and Meridian Street in East Boston. And experience Honeydew's flavors of the fall today. MSONewsports.com, MSO Radio.
All right, we're getting ready for the second half. Looks like a snow squall out there as the rain has picked up once again, and it's just coming down in the heavy mist-type sheets, and it's pouring out at the moment, as you can see in the puddles down in front of us. Gloucester leading 12-0, and Melrose will receive the ball to start the second half. They will receive the ball down to the right and head toward the canal. But the rain has really picked up once again. It's cold out there. It's windy. And some people are leaving. Some people have left at the half. So we hope they're joining us right now on the live streaming video and our radio broadcast. 12-0, Gloucester leading it. Two scores in the first half. One by Edward in the first quarter, one by Sanfilippo in the second quarter. And Melrose stopped at about the 2-yard line as time ran out at the end of the first half. So Rivera will kick from right to left. And he gets the right foot into a line drive that goes back to Abbott right at the 15 in the middle of the field. Goes to the left hash mark and crunched at the 29. Now they're going to aim at 30. So Melrose starting in good shape at their own 30-yard line. To start the second half, they'll have Jack Mays at the quarterback spot. They've got Colin Kiernan at fullback. Pedrini ordinarily the running back, and you got Steve Abbott, Josh Roderick as the receivers. And this time they will huddle up. Ball will be on the far hash mark going from left to right. Gloucester defense up front. Anthony Petrilli, Joe Branclione, Jacob Russell, and Ryan Gabriel on defense. Going to split two receivers out to the right, two out to the left. Right away in shotgun is Mays. Back at his 25. And it's a pitch to Abbott going the other direction. Nobody there. Oh, there's one guy stayed home. One player stayed home. Tackle him at the 25. Otherwise, it was a 70-yarder.
Yeah, great tackle by Nate Young.
What a terrific play offensively, though. But Young stopping Abbott at the 35-yard line.
And Young had a blocker on him, too, and he defeated the blocker and made the tackle.
He was the only guy there, Paul, and he didn't bite going the other direction. My. Second and five. Melrose on the move. And this time nothing. Stopped in the backfield. It's Pedrini.
Well, you know, the tendency that seems to be is if Pedrini is lined up to the left of the quarterback, Gloucester is blitzing their left defensive linebacker because they're figuring he's going to get the ball crossed.
That's a 2-yard loss.
Right to the opposite side, though.
2-yard loss, making it third and six. Now Petrini's in the slot out to the right with two receivers off to the left. And Mays backing up now. Off the line of scrimmage, he's at the 30 and shotgun. Rain coming down pretty hard. There goes Petrini in motion. Keeper by Mays up the middle. Stopped short of the first down by about 2 yards. And they'll put it at the 38, 39. So he gets about six. It'll be fourth down and one. And it's a short one where that yard marker is on the far side. They're going to go for it. Melrose trying to get some offense.
Indecisive here. Let's see.
Well, they're going to go for it. So it is fourth and one at their own 39-yard line.
This is what bothers me about the shotgun is he's got to get 5 yards just to get to the line of scrimmage.
And the rain really coming down heavily in sheets with the wind. And it's a handoff.
Gloucester went offside.
Did they? I don't see a flag. Well, the play is stopped short of the first down. And there is no flag, Coach. Was that Pedrini with the carry?
Yes, it was.
So he loses a yard to the 38. And Gloucester takes over on downs. Well, we'll have to see how important that stop is. As the game progresses, obviously, but my. 12 carries, 74 yards from scrimmage for Pedrini. Gloucester now at the Melrose 39, and we saw what happens when you give Gloucester a short field. And they are at the Melrose 39, 8:53 left to go, first possession, second half, and that's nothing. Another,
that's the second time it's happened, and a lot of times you put on your center or the quarterback has a towel. But I don't see anyone with a towel out there.
1 yard loss. So it's second and 11. Gloucester going from right to left, running away from the canal ball, midway between the hash marks, right at the 40-yard line.
Probably sweeper off tackle this way.
Tight formation. And up the middle it goes. Edward, I believe, down to the 34. So it is a 5-yard gain. It'll be third and six. for Gloucester. No, I'm corrected. Third and five. 7:54 left to go with the clock moving. Now the rain, well, it's still coming down heavily. The wind blowing in from north-northwest here. Temperature dropping. Little kid down there in a T-shirt and shorts. Okay. Okay. There you go. Yep. And he's flaunting it, too. Oh, well, whatever. Third down. Counterplay from right to left. Trying to pick his way as San Filippo. Not going to get there this time.
Well, the corner, contain man came right up and took the guard out. Nice play.
Fourth down, Gloucester. Give him no gain to the 34.
Is that a flag?
Yep. Yep, holding against Gloucester, so we'll bring it back 10. I think that would have been the first negative yardage for San Filippo. Going to go back to the 44. So the ball back to the Melrose 44 after Gloucester had gotten into the 34. Clock is still moving. 7.5 minutes left to go in the third quarter, 12-0. Each team with one possession so far in this second half.
So the two plays that Gloucester's run is the reverse.
All right, wing off to the right. Two backs set behind Nate Young, the Gloucester quarterback. And we're going to shift to the left. They shift both wing and tight end over to the left side. Now they send the wing in motion. Fumble snap again. Young picks it up off the ground and gets a yard. And it'll be fourth down.
What people don't understand about quarterback-center exchange is as the center is snapping the ball, he's actually taking a step forward. And the quarterback arms have to follow him. Even though the quarterback's going to step backwards, his arms keep pressure on the center. And like I said, sometimes the quarterback wants to get out of there real quick, and he doesn't keep that contact, and the ball gets fumbled.
Fourth down, as the weather may be playing a factor now. Several bad exchanges between center quarterback, and two in this half alone. Gloucester showing punt formation, and they'll get it away. Again, a good punt that's going to go into the end zone. It'll be a touchback as Pedrini wisely let that thing go.
Well, they did stop Gloucester. That's the first time in a while. So
the center for Gloucester, Chris Cassiteri, is the punter. He's a senior, 6'1", 230. Big guy. So neither team with a first down yet in this half, and we start Melrose next drive at the at their own 20 with 6:07 left. Only scoring coming in the first half. One touchdown by Edward in the first, one touchdown by San Filippo in the second, 12-0 Gloucester. Now Melrose will spread the field once again as they're midway between the hash marks. They got one down back with a man in shotgun, and they're going to send Abbott in motion. And it's a handoff to Bedrini trying to sweep to his right. Nope. He's going to be dropped for a loss. No, they're going to give him the 20.
Somebody, I think they've, you know, it's just, I mean, the whole team is just keying on Pedrini, so wherever he goes, everybody else goes.
And again, my thanks to our streamographer today, Jason Vazina, out there in the rain and the wind and the cold, doing the job for us on our live streaming video. MSO News Sports is who we are. Another game tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Tim Kearns and I will be in Beverly for that one. It'll be Somerville at Beverly. 5:28 left to go. Clock moving. Mays in the backfield by himself. Gloucester jumps, but they get back. Oh, no, it's Pedrini. What do they call that, the Wildcat?
Yeah.
Pedrini gets the direct snap and gets out to the 25. So let's see. He's got the 1, 2, 3, 4 carries and 4 yards in this half. So 15 and 78. Third down, 5 to go for Melrose. A long 5. They're at their own 25. Heading, I think, into the wind. Rain coming down again at a pretty good clip. And there is a penalty before the play starts. And usually that's on the offense, unless somebody called timeout. And they did. They have a timeout on this side. and that would be assessed to Gloucester. So it's a third down and five for Melrose. This will be looks like a 30-second timeout. Ball is at the Melrose 25-yard line. Each team with one possession so far in the second half. Gloucester putting together a very impressive drive to get their second touchdown. 18 plays and 86 yards. So now it's Melrose quarterback Mays back in the shotgun. With two guys, he gets a low snap, hands it off to Pedrini, sweeping to the left. He's got some room out there, and there he goes. 40, 50, breaks a tackle, 40, he's gone. This will be a touchdown. So Pedrini breaks through, 75 yards, and it's 12-6.
Well, certainly a nice block on the outside. It sprung him, so the wide receiver to that side. Excellent block.
And just like that, Pedrini's 16th carry doubles his yardage.
One of the things you got to think of now is those extra points that Gloucester missed.
So Pedrini now 153 yards on the ground and 16 carries and gets Melrose back to within six with the extra points looming large, as they say. For Melrose, what a run. My word. 75 yards down that sideline. And three plays for Melrose. They cover the 80 yards.
So and they are getting their rhythm. Here, Rick.
Mm-hmm.
They look like they're a little...
There's got to be a timeout taken here.
Yeah, they better hurry.
So there they go, going for two. They're going for two.
I wonder who's going to get the ball.
I wonder. Who can't you stop?
No.
Oh, they're going
to
pass.
Throw it to him.
Mays, that room on his right, looking, throws it, incomplete. So the score stays 12-6.
I really don't know about their kicking game, why they went for two. They felt they just don't have confidence in their extra point team.
Well, they have a freshman kicker. I don't know if that means anything or not. I don't really know how good he is. Chris Cozzolito, I know he's had some PATs this season, but I don't know a whole lot more than that. Couldn't get a hold of the coach. 12-6. The legs of Pedrini now have given Melrose the touchdown here in the third. 16 carries, 153 yards. Now, looking at it on both sides, if Gloucester can put together a sustained drive, they're in the driver's seat. If Melrose stops them, they're back in the game. Well, they're in the game. So this is will be a huge series. And, again, Gloucester starting the second half came up with nothing on their possession. And remember, they had the ball at the Melrose 39. So the Melrose defense has kicked it up a notch, as has their offense. Melrose with two good drives now. The last one in the second quarter and the second drive here in this third quarter. So Chris Cozzolito will kick off for Melrose from left to right. And it's going to be a real short kick. Going to be hauled in at the 40 by Gloucester. Look out. Hold on to it. And he does. And who is that running the ball? 17 on your program. That's A.J. Romeo Oliver. So he is a sure hands guy. Not a very big guy, though. Let's see if I can get the stats on Oliver before we start. The Gloucester drive here. 5'8", 155. Doesn't look like he's even that size. So the fishermen got a task now at their own 40.
Got to get the quarterback center exchange worked out, too.
Well, you know, I forgot to mention that. That was huge on the most recent possession. They'll shift from left to right. Set backfield. Sanfilippo, the handoff. He squirts it outside. He's hit and carries tacklers forward for more yardage across the 45 to the 47.
Well, Melrose is sending their outside linebacker opposite Sanfilippo. And he's coming up the field to take out the pulling guard, but he might be coming up a little bit too far upfield, and there's still a hole there.
And Filippo's over 100. He's got 103 yards. Inside 4 minutes, 12-6, Gloucester leading. Melrose has just scored. Gloucester facing a second and three. And he'll shift again from left to right. And This is a handoff to Edward up the middle, dragging tacklers forward, and he goes across the 50 for the first down. Want my water? San Felipe gets the first down into the Melrose zone. Coach, you're really out on the field. Going to bring a new ball out there? Yeah. Ball is at the Melrose 49, so that is a 4-yard gain for Edward. And it's first and 10, Gloucester. Now they'll set up with the wing off to the right and put him in motion back to the left. Pitch back to the running back, Sanfilippo, and he goes down as there's a flag on the play. He loses a yard, and I think Gloucester's going to lose more than that.
That was different in that Gloucester shifted, but Melrose didn't adjust.
Fisherman moving back, disconsolately back inside their 40 to the 35. Holding penalty against Gloucester, and it's beginning. The tide is beginning to turn, Paul. You can almost sense it here. Gloucester desperately needing a big first down. Melrose getting in rhythm on offense, and now they're putting together on defense, too. Ball will be stepped off.
Gloucester's kind of helping them. I mean, the quarterback center exchange and the penalties.
Yep. Another holding penalty. This one goes back to the 41 of Gloucester. So that's the second holding penalty. Gloucester's dropped the ball twice on the second exchange, second possession, I should say. They've dropped it twice on the center quarterback exchange, and now it's first and 20 for the Fishermen. They're moving from right to left. Actually, they're moving backwards from right to left. And they'll pull the shift on again. And Melrose just stays in their down position. Sanfilippo to the right side. Breaks it outside. Big yardage, 40. Inside the 30. And a gigantic run by Christian Sanfilippo down to the 25-yard line of Melrose. Well, they're going to put it shy of the 25. But a huge run for Sanfilippo. They're going to put it at the 28. Wow, so that is 22, 31-yard run. Did I have that right, Nick? 31 from scrimmage? And 22nd carry now for Sanfilippo. He's up to 134 yards. 2 minutes left to go. First and 10, Gloucester at the 28-yard line of Melrose. Handoff inside this time. Stopped for no gain, maybe a yard.
Fullback ISO.
Edward. Well, he gets positive yardage. So it's to the 26, second and 8. Just heard the dinger ding here for a score. Marblehead 35-0. Second half in that game. Well, we're down to a minute and a quarter left to go in the third quarter. Second and 8. Gloucester counterplay to the left. Hole yardage. Sanfilippo breaks it down to the 10, and he bounces on the turf after he's tackled, but he's okay.
Well, Melrose is doing a good job of containing it. It's just that there's no pursuit by the rest of the defense, so when he cuts it back, there's no one there.
Mm-hmm. Another 16 for Sanfilippo, and this time Melrose takes the timeout. Each team has spent a timeout here in the second half, and this will be a full timeout. So why don't we take a quick one also. With the score, Gloucester 12, Melrose 6, Gloucester knocking on the door. We'll be right back.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your place. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
Well, this has been a battle of the backs, Coach, and Christian Sanfilippo just, when you need yardage, he gets it.
Right. Yeah. Well, they're doing an excellent job blocking for him too. I mean, he certainly can get a lot on his own, but there are some holes there for him.
Well, we should mention then Chris Cassiteri is the center, Kyle Acapel, Chris Hernandez the guards, and Ryan Gabriel, Kevin Gabriel the tackles.
Well, it's
230.
They're blocking well.
180, 206, 185, 230. Okay, first and 10. Sanfilippo is going to be break a tackle, get outside, penalty marker down as he goes into the end zone. Another holding on Gloucester. So they had it just outside the 10-yard line of first and 10. The yard marker is just prior to the goal. They could get a first down without scoring. But another holding call, the third in this half, second in this series, will wipe out the score and bring it out to the 20. Another hold. First and 28 seconds left to go, third quarter. 12-6, Gloucester. Starting this drive back at their own 40, this will be the eighth play of the drive. This time they're going to split a receiver out to the left side, and it's a handoff to the up back.
Whoa.
And driven backwards. Edward gets zero. Maybe less.
He's talking with one of the assistant coaches from Gloucester, and they're running the trap differently this week, and maybe they should run it the same way.
Keep what they had.
He ran into a wall.
Yeah, and a 4-yard loss. So now it's second and 23 or 24 to go for the first down. And actually, you know, they got to put the ball right at the goal line to get the first down. So, in effect, it's second and goal. But the clock moving now with 19 seconds left. Cassiteri goes over the ball, and the rest of the line joins in. Down to 10 seconds. 8 seconds. Man in motion, 6 seconds. They will get the playoff. This is a counter play to the right, and Sanfilippo. Oh, is it Sanfilippo?
No, it's Smith.
Smith. Gets a couple, but that's all, and that will end the third. So they'll get it to the 21, and after 3 from New Old Stadium, the score remains Gloucester 12 and Melrose 6. We'll be back for the final 11.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever you plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
All right, as we start the fourth quarter, it's third down for Gloucester. They're at the Melrose 20-yard line, and they need to get to the goal line for a first down. And they're going into the teeth of the wind, I think. So it's third and forever. And here is Sanfilippo trying to sweep to the right, to the 15, and out of bounds at the 17. Nice, nice defensive stop by Antonio DeFranzo. DeFranzo, 6 feet, 220. He's a senior now. It's fourth down. And the ball is at the Melrose 14.
Well, either a reverse or they could come back to that pass to Sanfilippo again where they fake it to him and he runs down the sideline.
And here we go, 10:53. We're just underway fourth quarter. It is a fourth down and 13 from just outside the 13. Sanfilippo will get the ball, cutting it up midfield, and he steps over a potential tackler or two. He's not going to get there. He gets to about the one, but he needed to get right to the goal line. And so it will be Melrose taking over.
Well, it was a great effort.
Yep. Second effort especially. Looked like he was stopped after a couple yards. And it's at the two. So Melrose will take over, stopping Gloucester on downs and at their own two. With 10:45 left to go. And we saw, again, first play from scrimmage, we saw Pedrini tonight go 80 yards. So watch out. Another 12 yards for Sanfilippo. He has 168 yards. Pedrini has 153. So the Red Raiders have it. Handoff to, I'm sure it's Pedrini. Can't really tell. Gets a yard or two to the left. And that's it.
Well, they're just trying to give themselves a little operating room here.
let's see. It's at the three, so he only gets 1 yard. I'm going to give it to Pedrini. Nobody's talking up here, so I'm going to guess it's Pedrini. You can tell on the video, right back to the line of scrimmage. And there's a handoff, Pedrini. Here he comes around the outside, and he's driven out of bounds at about the seven by three Gloucester tacklers. Yikes. Now, let's see. At the seven, yep. So he gets four more. And it'll be third down now and five for Melrose. Now Pedrini is split out to the right. He's outside of Abbott. Abbott's in the slot to the right at the moment. Looking over to the sidelines to Morris, Coach Morris, for the play. Third and five. Ball on the near hash mark. Melrose moving from right to left. Split backfield behind Mays. And again, Pedrini split way out to the right. He has an inside handoff. Pedrini, I'm sorry, he was in the backfield. He moved back in the backfield. He gets to the 10, and that's it. Melrose will have to punt. So a big stop by Gloucester.
Well, they tried a little counterplay and free him up, but, you know, you got to think Gloucester's just all focusing on Pedrini. I mean, it's nobody else is even carrying the ball now.
19 carries for Pedrini, 161 yards. For Christian Sanfilippo of Gloucester, 25 carries, 168 yards.
He went off the side of his
foot. Oh, boy. This is a tough punt for Melrose. It goes out to the Melrose 42, and that's it. Now, with 8:45 left to go, Gloucester will have the ball at the Melrose 42. Under total yards of offense for Melrose. And that's it. Gloucester on the other side has, 204 yards. They doubled up on offense. And now the Fishermen start at the 41 is where they put it. They're at the Melrose 41. The winner of this game gets a great reward in having to travel to Marblehead next week. 8:45 left to go in the game. Nate Young, the quarterback, hands it off to Sanfilippo. Tripped up, goes head over heels after getting about three. Complete somersault, and lands on his feet. Give him two. Twenty-sixth carry for Sanfilippo. 170 yards, plus 18 yards receiving. All midway between the hash marks. Gloucester taking their time getting to the line of scrimmage with 8:11 left. Split backfield once again behind Young. Here's that double handoff again. Smith coming around to the right, cuts the corner, and is wrapped up at about the 35 of Melrose. It'll be at the 35, so it'll be a 4 yard gain. And it'll be third and about four to go. You know, put it at the 36. My bad.
All right, you got to figure it's four down territory here.
Clock has stopped for some reason. I don't know why. It's stopped at 8 minutes. And it's third down and five. Sanfilippo into the middle of the line. plowing forward close to the 30. He may have it. And let's see. Got it. First down. Huge, huge first down for Gloucester. 6 yard gain for San Filippo. Got to be a tired puppy out there. 176 yards now, 27 carries. 7:48 left to go. First down, Gloucester at the Melrose 30. On the near hash mark, fisherman headed toward the canal. San Filippo off of left tackle goes forward to the 25.
Right, you know, from just observing up here, of course, you know, I don't know the play until after it's run, but it looks like the off-tackle play is real. The tight end's doing a great job.
Who's over there at tight end, Coach? Is that Cameron or Emerson?
That would be Emerson. Emerson, I believe.
Okay. Oliver Emerson, the tight end. Eric Cameron, the receiver. Smith is the wing on the right. San Filippo Edward in the backfield. And this time, was that Edward again? I mean, San Filippo?
Yeah.
Wrapping both arms around the ball as he goes into the line of scrimmage.
Well, the old saying is you have a cannon, you fire it. And, well, here they go,
seems
double wing with two tight ends.
Seems to me I've heard that before from you, Coach. San Filippo into the line
flat,
of scrimmage.
But he's gonna get
yeah,
it.
Gets the first down. Was that San Filippo again? He got three, Coach. Yeesh. Nothing. Marblehead after three. We got 6.5 left to go in this game. 12-6, Gloucester grinding it out right now. Or I should say grounding it out. It's at the 18. San Filippo doing the carrying. It's at the 18, first and 10. They were down here a little while ago. They got it down to the 10-yard line. San Filippo trying to sweep to the left. Cuts it back inside and bounces forward close to the first down. He's taking a pounding, but he's giving out a pounding too, Coach.
Well, they're nice holes for him, I mean.
Mm-hmm. First carry for San Filippo, and he's had it seven consecutive times on this drive. That's what they do in Danvers with Matt Andreas. 2nd and 3, Gloucester. They're at the Melrose 11-yard line. Once again, it's San Filippo dancing into the line, pushing the pile forward, and it looks like it's very close to the first down, maybe 1 yard beyond it.
Well, this is a lot of good timeout by Melrose.
Didn't get the first down, just short. So the ball is, I don't know where it is, at the 9. They need to get, they give him the first down. It is a first down. So it's first and goal at the 8. And Melrose takes the timeout. That's their second of the half. And time now becoming really critical. So Gloucester, Coach, when they needed the ball possession drive, they put one together, you know, at the end of the third quarter, and here they are in the fourth now with another one.
Well, that's their offense, try to, you know, grind it out and eat up the clock and frustrate the other team. And what happens is you just wear down the defense, too. I mean, look how long Melrose defense has been out there in this half.
Yep, and the battle of the running backs.
I think, you know, San Filippo goes one way, so, I mean, you know, it's certainly a little bit easier for him when he doesn't have to play defense,
mm-hmm.
too.
Well, he's run 8 consecutive times on this drive, 10 consecutive times on Gloucester possessions.
Well, they haven't really got a lot out of, you know, the ISO or the fullback trap, so it makes sense to keep giving it to him and let him run off tackle and let him run sweep.
First and goal, ball midway between the hash marks at the Melrose 8. Young under center, hands off to San Filippo. He is slammed at about the 2-yard line. He was straight up, and someone came across and just jackhammered him down. But it's down to the 2, it looks like, or maybe the 1. It is at the 2, just inside the 2, 6-yard gain. Second and goal from the 2. And again, Gloucester just taking its time, coming out of the huddle, clock moving at 4:43. Now this time, yep, split backfield once again with Cameron split out to the right. Here's a handoff to Sanfilippo. He's in. Touchdown from 2 yards out. It's 18-6. Gloucester. Sanfilippo's second touchdown of the night. And on that carry, he has 199 yards from scrimmage. 33 carries, 199 yards. 4:32 left to go in the ballgame. And it's now 18-6, Gloucester. And for the Fishermen, a sustained drive, 9 plays, and where'd they start? At the 41, I think it is? Yeah, at the 41. So 9 plays and 41 yards. 2:45. And now they're going to go for 2, leading 18-6. Sanfilippo cuts it from left to right. And he does not get in. Does not get in, so the score remains 18-6. With 4:32 left to go in the game, we'll take a break. Gloucester leading this one by that score of 14-6 over Melrose. We'll be back.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright double hung insert window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our 3 locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Nick is feeding me scores right now. Danvers leading 28-0 over Wakefield. What'd you say Peabody was? 14? 21-13. Peabody is leading Chelmsford. Is that right, Chelmsford?
No, it's not Lexington's up on
Danvers. Oh, my. No, it's not Chelmsford. It's not Chelmsford. What is it? Lexington? 42-29 over our old friend E.J. Perry up in Andover. 81 points in the first half. That's not unusual for Andover. But they're down by 12. All right, here's a short kick that's going to bounce to the 27, picked up there by Pedrini. He's going to get it out to the 35 and then be driven backwards.
Well, Gloucester kept kicking the ball short because Pedrini was deep. So then they moved Pedrini up short, and Gloucester didn't realize it, and kicked it to him.
Right to him. Well, the Red Raiders got their work cut out for them at the 35, their own 35. Plenty of time, because, as we said, first play from scrimmage, Pedrini went 80. And I think he took about 10 seconds off the clock. First and 10 on the far hash mark. Melrose in white. Pedrini will sweep to the left. He's got room outside, and he'll be tripped up after a gain of about the 38. And good open field tackle by Gloucester's defense that time. And Damon Brown, senior.
I watched 3 films on Melrose, and they threw the ball very effectively against some other teams. They've got to do something here to score quickly.
Well,
they got to the Wildcat again.
He got, yep. So Pedrini is back all by himself in the backfield with wideouts left and right. 2 to the left, 2 to the right. And it will be Pedrini faking a pass. Good night.
Well, that didn't fool anybody.
Stopped at the line of scrimmage.
The line of scrimmage.
Jeez.
I think probably about 1,000 people knew he was going to take the ball.
Yeah, well, it's still at the 39. So, let's see. Trying to keep stats here at the same time. It's 3rd and 6 for Melrose, and what happened? We got a flag? No, penalty. No. Excuse me, timeout, Gloucester.
Well, that's a little bit different formation, although Pedrini is back at quarterback again.
Yeah, they had somebody in motion from way out on the left side. They had Isaac Seide in motion. But we're down to 3:01. And again, in this fourth quarter, it was Sanfilippo. 9 plays, 41 yards for Gloucester. Sanfilippo finishing it off with a 2-yard run. And Christian Sanfilippo, on the most recent Gloucester possession that resulted in a touchdown, carried the ball 9 straight times on that possession. And now the ball is in Pedrini's hands, literally. He is back at shotgun. Pedrini is the quarterback back in shotgun with 3 receivers off to the right. Seide comes back in the backfield. Pedrini fires it. It's tipped and incomplete. And he did pass the ball, but it was tipped.
No, Rick, I got to disagree with that. I mean, you have a quarterback that's trained to throw the ball, and then you have a halfback who rarely throws the ball in a crucial situation. I would let the kid who's trained to throw it.
Kyle Acapel was the guy who got the hands on it for Gloucester. Now it's 4th down. 4th and 6. You know, Whitecaps in the puddles down below here. 4th and 6 for Melrose. They got trips to the right, 1 receiver to the left. I'm assuming it's Mays back at quarterback. And it is. He's going to roll to his right. Looking, shooting it, and incomplete. And that well could do it, Coach. 2:50 left to go. It ain't over yet, but that's a...
Now, Gloucester, if they can keep grind out 2 first downs, mm-hmm. It's over.
Tough play for Melrose as they had chances. But Gloucester defense, and you can't say they're shutting Pedrini down. He's got 165 yards on 21 carries. And he also has 29 yards in the air, so he's almost 200 total yards. They haven't shut him down, but he's only gotten in the end zone once. I guess you can say, in a sense, he's been shut down. Ball is at the, I don't know how you would say it, at the 39 of Melrose. First play from scrimmage. Sanfilippo gets it to close to the 35. And it is at the 35, so it's a 4-yard gain, 2nd and 6. And Sanfilippo is up over 200 yards from scrimmage now. 204 from scrimmage. You think? No, 203, I'm sorry. I'm off by a yard. And he is the all-time leading rusher for Gloucester High School as well. 2nd and 6. Ball is at the 35. Gloucester heading toward the canal from left to right. Sanfilippo cuts it to his right. And this time he stopped after a very short game. And Melrose takes a timeout. Their 3rd timeout. And ball is put down at the 34, so 1-yard gain. So how do you rate that, Coach? I mean, the 200 yards total offense for Pedrini, but the defenses look pretty good. It's crazy.
Well, there's no, I mean, he's got no help. I mean, he's the whole package. I mean, every play he's... And if it's a pass play, they throw it to him. So, I mean, when you mm-hmm. only have to key on one person, it's a lot easier on the defense. Let's just say that.
So Gloucester facing a 3rd and 5 from the 34 of Melrose. They've got a wing to the right, split out to the right. Sanfilippo handoff runs to his right, doesn't get anywhere. And it'll be 4th down. So they need the first down and not getting it. Melrose defense stiffening. Another timeout for the Red Raiders. I think. Yep. They take it, and that's their 4th. Stopping the clock at 1:57. 36 carries for Christian Sanfilippo, 204 yards. On the other side, Pedrini. Mike Pedrini, 21 carries, 165 yards on the ground, and he's got 29 yards in the air receiving. So if Gloucester can get a first down here and they continue and they win, they've got to go to Marblehead next week, and they have not had success against Marblehead in recent history. Fourth down. Pass play. Look out. Young's hit from behind. The ball is actually, it's not a forward pass. It was
a fumble back to the
43.
He put the ball up, but he never came forward with it.
Right. It was a lateral, in effect. And so it was a live ball covered up by Oliver Emerson, but it's first down Melrose anyway.
They tried to run a pop pass to the tight end, and Melrose, to give them credit, they held up the tight end. They didn't let him get out. So he put the ball up to throw it, but there was no one to throw it to, and they got him from the backside.
Now remember, Melrose has quick strike capability. They can do it. Gloucester can't get cocky. Meanwhile, Melrose needs that quick score. And then they have a chance to get the ball back. Long way to go, but Red Raiders down by 12 with 1:52 left to go. So Gloucester had a chance to salt the thing away, didn't.
Yeah.
Low snap. Oh, he's got his knee down. Mays has to go to the ground to get the ball, recover it. He had his knee down at the 37. So it's a six-yard loss. And the clock keeps moving. Right back to the line of scrimmage. And Mays wants to throw. He's going to step up, fire it over the middle. There's a man there. It's Pedrini. What a catch. Two guys draped all over him. He still gets it down to the 37.
What a catch, too.
Wow. That is the play of the night. First down. They're at the Gloucester 36. 28-yard game. Clock moving with 1:24. It ain't over yet. Twins left and right. Ball on the ground again. Mays picks it up. Scrambling. Back toward his own 50. Throws it underneath. Complete. At the Gloucester 32.
Yeah, he was wide open. Dragging across the field. There was no one near him.
Was that Pedrini again?
No. That was 9.
No, that's Steve Abbott. All right. That's complete to Abbott. And it's another first down. 1:12 left to go. He went out of bounds. Clock stopped. So the ball is at the Gloucester 24. Another 12 yards. And boy, I'll tell you, passing. Melrose moving it right downfield. They're at the 24. Down by 12, and the clock's down.
I believe Gloucester called. Oh.
The whistle blew. Gloucester hit a player after the whistle blew, and the coaching staff by Melrose is incensed. They are incensed over there on that far sideline. So the clock was stopped, I think, on a timeout by Gloucester.
Well, I don't blame him. I mean,
After the whistle, a Gloucester player popped one of the Melrose kids, and he went down. And the Melrose,
I don't know, the
staff.
Officials are talking about something, but I didn't see a penalty flag.
Nope.
The ball will be maybe. I don't know. What's he doing?
The ball will be at the 24 of Gloucester, and it'll be first and 10 for Melrose with 1:10 left to go in the game. Red Raiders have moved it from their own 43 down to the Gloucester 24 in three plays, and they've done it in 42 seconds. And long discussion here. Dick Sawchuk is over talking to the coaches on the far sideline, talking with Coach Morris of Melrose. And about half the number of people who were here originally are still here. Live streaming video tonight brought to you by Streamography.com. Jason Fazina out there on the camera. We'll have audio only tomorrow. MSO Radio will bring you the Beverly game. It will be Somerville at Beverly, game time at 1 o'clock. And that'll be on Channel A.
Do you know Beverly's ranking, Rick?
Conference? I don't. What'd you say? Nick said fourth. Thanks, Nick. Nick Kukru of the Gloucester Times helping us out as always. Now, first and 10. They gain a yard at the 23, but it's at the 24. First and 10, Melrose with 1:10 left to go, down by 12. Another old snap. Ball on the ground. Scrambling for it. Mays dives on it at the 25. A yard lost and the clock moving. 1 minute. And still moving. So it's a loss of one. second and 11. 53 seconds and clock moving. Twins to the left, Twins to the right. Mays plenty of time, looking. Steps up, arcs it toward the end zone. Up for grabs, incomplete at the goal line. Two Gloucester defenders back on one Melrose receiver, and the clock stops with 43.9.
Guess who that receiver was?
No. Was it Pedrini?
Yeah.
Oh, man. What a player. Another. I just add to his totals here. Let's see. He's over 200 yards total. But anyway, it's 3rd and 11. 3rd and 11 for Melrose. Rain coming down pretty heavily again. Ball is at the Gloucester 25. Good snap this time. Mays, all kinds of time. Throws it up again. Incomplete in the end zone. Nobody near that one.
Now that again, it was for Pedrini. So
yeah, he was double covered.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's, you got to kind of take what the defense gives you, and the defense knows that you're going to throw to Pedrini.
There is a player still down in the end zone. I think it's a Gloucester player. I don't have my glasses with me, my field glasses.
Well, I believe it's just a cramp. You can, and they're stretching the leg like that.
Uh-huh. Well, what a game. My goodness. Melrose coming down threatening here late, but they don't have a lot of time. 37.6 to 24 yards out from cutting it to 6 points. And I'm afraid to take a break here. As soon as I do, they'll start play. Yep. And Gloucester play out Smith. It's Mark Smith. He's okay. Final score out of Marblehead is 35-0. Marblehead over Whalen. And look at the rain come down now. Yeesh. Now Coach Aurelli out there talking to Dick Sawchuk. Dick Sawchuk, the referee in the white hat. A lot of conversation between the coaches and the officials here. But it's fourth down, fourth and 11 for Melrose.
Yeah, what it was is Smith was injured, so
they had to take the timeout.
He has to come out of the game, or if you take a timeout, you can leave him in the game. So
Now they want a timeout. What is going on? Yeah, yeah. So Coach really took a timeout. And so that's their fourth. They've got one left, and Melrose has one left. Hard-hitting game, though. Congratulations to both sides, Coach. These two teams have battled it. A lot of a lot of hard hits out there. Good line play. And no chippiness to this point. Probably shouldn't have said that.
No. Seems a little bit, the coaches are a little upset at some of the officials, but other than that, the kids are getting along.
Yep. Well, it's a terrific game. And it's as advertised. It has really, been between the two running backs with their support staff. And at the moment, Gloucester has the advantage. Fourth and 11 at the 25-yard line of Gloucester. Mays of Melrose, all kinds of time. Wants to run, wants to throw. He throws it underneath. It's complete.
And then maybe got the first down. I believe he got it.
Yeah. Is it Pedrini again? I mean,
I
probably has to be. I couldn't see. It's at the 11. At the 12. So that is a 13-yard gain. 26.1 seconds left. And I don't know who called this timeout.
I don't know if they did call a timeout.
Well, the official stopped the clock.
Did he?
Nope, they moved the chains. Yep. But the clock did stop. And it remains still. First and 10, Melrose at the Gloucester 12. Down by 12. 26 seconds left in the game. Mays, all kinds of time again. Steps up into the pocket. Shoots it over the middle. It's incomplete. Two receivers in the same vicinity, including Pedrini. Abbott must have been the other one. But there is a penalty on the play. And a discussion. Well, the game was sailing along pretty well. And it is stalled now. It's just after 9 o'clock. Second down and 10 from the 12, but that's academic. They got to get into the end zone with 21 seconds left. Big, long discussion out there. Do we get told why? Holding on Melrose. Wind direction changing a little bit as the wind comes into the press box here. This has got to be the best venue to see a game with these windows like this and so on. Windows are spotless and great view from everywhere in the press box. Well, everybody on pins and needles here for the end. 21.6 seconds left. Now, the holding call doesn't... I don't know what happened. Offset? Offset. Penalty on each team.
Why did it take so long to figure that one out?
Second down and 10. Melrose at the Gloucester 12. 21.6 seconds left. And Melrose desperately wanting to get into the end zone. Here's Mays firing it to the right corner of the end zone and a little too far beyond the reach of Pedrini. And so it'll be third down with 17.1 left. 10th play of this drive coming up. Will you stop dropping your phone? Poor Nick. He's working over here. All right, Coach, here we go. Third and 10. We've had six consecutive pass plays. Another low snap. Picked up the turf. Mays steps up. Stops. Now he's going to run with it. Rolling to his left. Now he wants to stop and throw across the green. Almost intercepted.
Yeah.
And almost caught by Melrose on the tip.
It's going to be Lyman downfield.
Another penalty. Boy, this thing has just come to a screeching halt in the last minute. Another discussion.
Well, he was scrambling around so much that he assumed the alignment.
Well, we're just waiting to see when the conference is over what's going on. Dick saw Chuck and the boys having a chat out there at the 12-yard line. 7 seconds left to go in the game. Now, what do we have? Dick Sawchuck points. Yep, there it is. Ineligible downfield. Metal loss it down?
Yes.
Yep. So it should be fourth down. And it is.
All right, well, after that,
and you don't move the ball? Don't you move the ball on a penalty? Oh, they declined it? Okay. I don't get that. It would be fourth. You can't decline it. It's fourth down. Well, whatever. Fourth and ten. I don't know. Anyway, Mays throws it.
Had
a receiver wide open at the goal line and threw it just a little too far. And I can't see the numbers. Is that 33?
32, Rick.
32 was Colin Kiernan.
And that'll do it. You know what had happened is all the snaps at the end of the game were so low.
Yeah. Well, that's a game we're going to remember for a while. My, my. Valiant effort by Melrose, especially at the end. And again, Coach, I got to commend them not being chippy here with getting frustrated at the end. Played tough to the end. 2.1 seconds left with the fisherman taking over, taking the knee, and that's the game. All right, so we will take a final break and wrap this thing up as Gloucester moves on. They beat Melrose by a score of 18-6. Game coming to you from Newell Stadium in Gloucester. We'll have our wrap-up in just a second.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at Historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Roger Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get. from our boats to your plate.
For team uniforms and your business's corporate apparel, choose Sarkisian Sportswear, Route 1 South in Peabody. Why Sarkisians? It's quality. Owner Sarkis Sarkisian.
Quality is not only the type of apparel you get and the cleanliness and the professionalism that's used in making that. The quality is in the customer service that we provide from beginning to the end of the whole process of getting you the type of apparel or uniforms that you're looking for.
Sarkisian Sportswear, Route 1 South Peabody, SarkisianSports.com.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, I can understand the confusion you may be experiencing. TV, radio, and newspapers are simply filled with replacement window advertising, all promising everything under the sun and then some. At Moynihan Lumber, we offer no gimmicks, just quality products, competitively priced, sold to you by a professional salesperson who really knows what he's talking about. That's Moynihan Lumber in North Reading, Beverly, and Plastown, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
Back at Dole Stadium, this game came as advertised. My goodness gracious, battle between the running backs. Mike Pedrini of Melrose, Christian Sanfilippo of Gloucester, and Gloucester Fishermen come away with the 18-6 win. Game open, first play from scrimmage for Melrose. Pedrini goes 80 yards for a touchdown. It is called back. Thanks, Phil. Take care. It is called back on a holding call, and Pedrini had to get a rest after that, but didn't take him long to get his legs back again. However, Gloucester scored first with 1:50 left to go, 1:58 left to go in the first quarter. Jermaine Edward, on a 17-yard sweep, scored for the Fishermen, putting him out in front 6-0, capping a 7-play, 60-yard touchdown drive. Gloucester increased the lead to 12-0 at the half, 1:48 left to go. Christian Sanfilippo scored the first of his two touchdowns from 5 yards out, and that finished off an 18-play, 86-yard touchdown drive. Fishermen led 12-0 at the half. However, third quarter, they exchanged punts to open up the third quarter, and then Melrose put together a 3-play, 80-yard touchdown drive. Pedrini, 75 yards from scrimmage on the one run, on the touchdown run, and that made it 12-6. Everybody's missing the extra points tonight. But Gloucester came right back, put together a 9-play, 41-yard touchdown drive of their own with 4:32 left to go in the game. Christian Sanfilippo was second TD from 2 yards away. 9 plays, 41 yards, and it's 18-6 at that point. Now, the statistics tonight are rather startling, I think. Let's see, 250 total yards of offense for Gloucester, 147 total yards of offense for Melrose. Pedrini, Mike Pedrini, had more total yards than the team did, although I guess I didn't add that. I need to add that final. Did I? Yeah. I'll get to that in a second for Pedrini. But let's go over Christian Sanfilippo's stats. Christian Sanfilippo tonight, 36 carries, 204 yards rushing the ball. Let's see. He also had one completion, one pass catch for 18 yards. 222 yards of total offense for Christian Sanfilippo. Jermaine Edward, 9 carries, 52 yards. and Sanfilippo carrying it time after time in the second half. On the other side, Mike Pedrini, 21 carries for 165 yards from scrimmage, 3 catches for 55 yards, and that is a total of 220 yards total offense for Mike Pedrini. So 222 yards of total offense for Christian Sanfilippo, 220 yards of total offense for Mike Pedrini. But Gloucester wins 18-6, and they go to to Marblehead.
Yeah, well, Gloucester got in the end zone, and Melrose didn't. But coming in here, Melrose knew that, you know, you had to stop Gloucester's sweep and off tackle with Sanfilippo carrying the ball, and they weren't able to do it. They stopped the fullback trap, they stopped the ISO. To some extent, they stopped the reverses. But they never stopped off tackle and sweep, and that's where they just kept running it. And you know, you got to give the tight end and the wing back and the strong tackle for Gloucester. You got to give them credit too because they did a great job blocking. And I just think it was easier for Gloucester to stop Pedrini. I know that what he mean by stopping, but he carried the, you know, I mean, he was the only one that really gained any offense.
Yeah, and he didn't get to the end zone. And I'm amazed at the stats, because it looked like they did stop him. But no, he just kept going and going. And but it's a Gloucester win. And
you got to get in that end zone.
The other thing I want to mention is a couple of defensive plays, I think, Coach, especially by Nate Young, Gloucester quarterback, but a defensive back. And he stopped Pedrini a couple of times one-on-one when he was the only one there.
Right, he did that. And he also made that stop in reverse, who wasn't Pedrini, at the first play of the second half. Remember when the quarterback flipped the ball, and he was the only one out there. He had a blocker on him. He still took on the blocker and made the tackle. So those are big plays. Was a touchdown. That looked like a touchdown, too.
The discipline to stay home when everybody else is following the other
side. His job, too, to stay home until the ball, he's sure that the ball is going the other way.
Well, Coach, we're not going to Marblehead next next Friday night to do the game, because there's no place for us to broadcast from, but we'll have some kind of coverage. Either you'll be there or someone will be there.
I'd like to go, but they have no way you can get up top or anything.
No, there's no place we can get the gear, inside or any to do the game. It just can't be done.
I know a lot of Gloucester fans would love to.
Oh, absolutely. It's very disturbing. We can't do it, and it's upsetting, but we'll get coverage. We'll get someone there to broadcast or send us the scores along, and who knows, maybe it'll be you. I'll ask you to do that. the huge task facing Marblehead. I mean, they are just on a roll for another year.
Right, and they're well coached. They have good players. And they come to play every game, it looks like. It doesn't seem like they have a down, and that's hard to do, to every game. And certainly this will be a big game for Gloucester, and hopefully Gloucester can go over there and have some things go right for them, because they have struggled over there.
Mm-hmm. Well, we invite everybody to check our scoreboard, as Bill Newell and I will be compiling that when we get home tonight. This game will be... we'll have the radio on demand. We'll have the video on demand of it tomorrow. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to Jason Fazzino, streamography.com, for weathering the weather out there and, bringing the video of this one. But it looks real good for the conference all the way around, through the first half and going into the third quarter. I mean, Peabody was leading, Revere was winning, Danvers was winning, and, Gloucester did win, Marblehead did win. So you got five or six schools in the playoffs from the conference doing pretty well.
Yeah. And I that St. Mary's team, I'm keeping track of them because Matt Durgan's a great coach, mm-hmm. and boy, he seems to have it rolling down there too.
Yeah, kind of knows what he's doing. All right, Coach, thanks. That's Coach Paul Ingram, formerly of Gloucester High School. Three Super Bowl wins as head coach in his last 4 years over there. Got to remind everybody that record 50-2 in his last 4 years. So check our website. We'll give you our TBAs. We'll fill that in as to where we're going to be next week. Well, you can guarantee you we'll have games, at least two games on Friday night, and probably another one on Saturday. And don't forget tomorrow, Saturday, I'll be in Beverly with Tim Kearns, as it'll be Somerville at Beverly. That game is a 1 p.m. start. That'll do it from here. Final score. From Newell Stadium, once again, it's Gloucester beating Melrose by a score of 18-6. And I had one more stat to send along, and now I can't find it, so it'll be up on the website. I'll post it on the website. Well, there it is. For Gloucester's coach, Tony Zerilli, that's his 36th career victory. He's now 36-27. Fisherman is 7-1 this year. Melrose coach Tim Morris, record now 139 wins, 91 losses, and Melrose is now 5-3 for the year. Final score, once again, for the last time, Gloucester 18 and Melrose 6. This is MSONewsports.com.